Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the cold hard truth on sports.
I apologize in advance if I am out of line here.
Brace yourselves, boys, we're going in.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm not reading, I'm just looking at the picture.
Welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports.
And I'm your host, Matthew Long, the Executioner. Happy April Fool's Day, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't got caught up on something yet today, if you don't have those typical pranksters in your life, well, there's plenty of jokes to be had out there. I'll go down a little later in the show some of the pranks that have been pulled off on this, the 2014 edition of April Fool's Day. We'll be kicking off our comedy tour today. I'll have Richard Reese on here in about a half hour, a little under a half hour. He'll be joining us, comedian. I've known the guy for a while. He's a friend of mine. We've been friends since we were like teenagers. He actually won the Great American Comedy Festival, which, if you don't know what that is, that's like the American Idol of comedy. So that's pretty funny guy, you know. Look forward to having him on here a little bit later on in the show. I get at around 9 o'clock. I'm just getting a lot of messages in right now. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people where you text me for some reason. I interrupt whatever conversation I'm having. I'm like, what is this? Something's buzzing. This is making noise. Let me see what's going on here. And I read, and I shouldn't. It's
a problem that I have, and I accept the problem, because accepting your problems is the first step towards defeating them.
I should get a chip for that. I admitted it. You notice I'm sounding a little bit different this week, and that is because the audio equipment was upgraded this week. Yeah, I'm pretty psyched about it. I'm enjoying it. If at any time during this 3 hours that we're on the air, the number to call in is 347-237-5539. If you want to share your cold hard truth on sports, I look forward to it. Bring it on. I don't screen calls. I know a lot of radio shows you go to. Hey, what's your name? Where you calling from? Because Shaq answers the phone, you know.
Hey, man, you know, what's your name? Where you calling from, you know? You ever think of my mother, my father? Can you dig it?
I got Shaq answering the phones here. No, but in all reality, there's no screening process. So when you call in, if I don't recognize your number, I'll ask who you are and where you're calling from. Because I know I've worked for radio shows that want contribution to the show in order to get on, which is, you know, good. So they kind of screen what you say. If you say something retarded calling in on a web radio, obviously, if you're listening to it on web radio, it isn't because you were just channel surfing. It's obviously something that you wanted to listen to, or you're a friend of Richard Reese and you're just calling in to support him, which could be the case. You know, I don't judge. But if you call in and you say something that sounds completely and utterly retarded, I'm going to say that. That's fine. If you are afraid of calling in and saying something stupid and you want to tweet or message me something stupid on social media, that's fine. The show handle is at TheCHT on sports, or you can hit me up directly at Matt Long Sports. That's fine. I'll read the stupid stuff on air, and I'll make fun of it. That's fine. I don't mind it. I know some people get irritated. These people are so stupid. Yeah, they are. So entertaining. Right? But for more up-to-date information on non-stupid stuff, you can head on over to thechtonsports.com. And that's the website. It is a fully functional sports website. And I do what I can to keep my due diligence and keep it up. New articles up there all the time. And I'm actually, because I'm the publisher of the site, so actually looking for more contributors for the site. So if you are interested, just email thechtonsports@gmail.com. Had a few resumes and stuff being sent in earlier this week. I've been going over. So, yeah, definitely contact me if you're interested in that. I'm always looking for new points of view. So there's quite a bit going on in sports right now. All major sports have pretty much collided at this point. We're almost 2 weeks from the NFL draft. Spring football camps have already started. And spring games are going to be coming up here pretty soon. We're looking at Final Four that's on. Major League Baseball opening day was yesterday. The actual opening day was yesterday. So I got to catch a few games. And some people, it's funny because some people, you know, I read a post earlier today. You know, now that you know opening day here, the sports season is officially over. I was like, what? Baseball is just starting up. I mean, a lot of people don't like baseball. You know, I've always thoroughly enjoyed baseball, so it's been tough for me to comprehend why somebody really doesn't like it. I don't know. I guess, you know, sometimes the game can be slow pace. You know, you got the guy over there gripping his bat, kicking the ground, wiping dirt away, checking the grip on the bat again, swinging it a little bit, getting ready, and no swing. Ball one. See, I understand why people maybe, you know, I guess I kind of understand. Maybe you can get bored there. But if you really understand the game, that should get you a little more hyped up. I know it does for me. I thoroughly enjoy it. Look forward to it all the time. One game that wasn't an exception, last night, opening day, Tampa Bay Rays and the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, I produced a show that we did on Saturdays, used to do on Saturdays, called The Triangle Offense. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to be aired this Saturday or not. Yeah, you're like, oh, I thought you said you were the producer guy. Now, I am the producer, but I'm not the host, so yeah, I don't always determine the show being aired or not. So we'll see. We'll see if that comes. If it does, great. If not, life goes on. But we broke down most of the Major League Baseball divisions. And once again, the AL East is just one of those grueling divisions. You know, it's amazing. You see the Rays, again, the team I was talking about. They They actually they upped their payroll this year to $80 million. Most in franchise history, they decided to pay David Price $14 million. So the offseason for them has been very busy. Now, it hasn't just been, I mean, they've been signing a lot of guys like guys back like Price, like James Loney, like now I'm drawing a blank. Oh, that's great. Their catcher, Jose Molina. That's all right, big guy, big fella, number 28. You know, if you want to enjoy something in slow motion that really isn't, watch him run. That's going to be my only joke about Jose Molina. He's a great guy. I like his walk-up music. It's some pretty hardcore Puerto Rican salsa. I like that. I'm really big into Latin music. It's not good bumper music on Sports Talk Radio, but, you know, it is, you know, I thoroughly do enjoy it. Yes, I will get into NBA. I don't know if I said that. People are asking if I'm going to get into NBA playoff talk. I'll get into that later on in the show. People want to get in on that? I'll get in on that. You can direct message me. You hear me right now. I'm reading them. I'm reading them while I'm on the air, which maybe not be the best of things. A little bit of news from earlier on today. Here's the story. I was doing some research and stuff for the show, you know, show prep stuff, and a friend of mine, who's actually on one of the co-hosts for CMT Firestorm, sister show that's on tomorrow night from 8:30 to 10:30. Here on MRN Broadcasting, messaged me. He said, "Hey, did you see the Bucks made an offer to Graham?" I said, "Graham? What Graham? Who Graham?" He said, "You know, the one from the best football school in the world, Miami." I said, "Are you talking about Jimmy Graham?" And Miami is the best, by the way. And then he went on to lead an hour and a half conversation, name-dropping all the Miami players that have ever made it to the NFL. And I sat and thought, oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard anything about that at all. That would be a good move. I didn't know they were going to drop that kind of money. So they're going to pay him as a top five receiver? That's interesting. They just signed Myers. Why would they sign Graham? Figured that they would draft before they would sign Graham. So it didn't make sense, you know. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I Googled it. And I found the article from SB Sports by Joe Oliver. And I'm reading it. I'm like, huh, wow, how about that? This article is written kind of peculiar. Some snide remarks in there, kind of like some jokes. And I was like, yeah, this is an April Fool's joke. It has to be. I looked at the link at the top of the page, and it said, basically, you know, it's April Fool's joke. The New Orleans Saints April Fool's signing with Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Something to that effect. So, I said, you know what? That's kind of interesting. It caught my attention. Let me see how many other people could get snagged. So I put it out there. Like a lot of the other reports I've done, or reports I put out, information I get, you know, via tip or whatnot, try to get some biters. I actually had a couple people retweet it. So, joke's on them. It's April Fools. So those of you listening, it is not true. And I wanted to make sure. So I got over with a friend that knows, that's close to the GM, and was able to confirm that, yes, that is just an April Fool's prank. They did not offer Jimmy Graham a 5-year deal worth $57.5 million and only $3.5 guaranteed. So that's like nothing guaranteed. It's like completely the opposite of Jared Allen's deal that he got, you know, just last week. And if you go over to the website, the chtonsports.com, you can check out a little article that I had up. Because a lot of, it's funny, because some organizations jump, media organizations really jump on something, and they'll run with whatever information they have. I know, now some of that, you know, there's another article I wrote over there about DeSean Jackson being released and maybe why. And, it's really interesting to sit back and look at some of the things they go with. But a lot of people have basically had deal in hand for Jared Allen, with the Seattle Seahawks. And for me, it just never really made sense to me. It didn't fit, you know, schematically. He's played the most downs in the NFL over the last 5 years, and it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like that was really where he would go. You know, they say, oh, well, he doesn't have any hard offers here, you know, there. But I think his agent did a pretty good job of, you know, limiting information that's available. And that's kind of how it goes, you know. You know, so they were thinking, you know, it wouldn't have been the Bears, because the Bears have already spent money on defensive ends, and, you know, they're probably done. Well, no, they weren't. And without getting too much more into detail on it, check out the article over on the website. I'll tweet it out here a little later, too. And if anybody's interested in getting into the topic of DeSean Jackson tonight, I am all on it. Because there seems to be so many different things with the dynamic to this, and it seems to, the issues surrounding him have seemed to develop legs and walk in different directions. So I'm very interested into getting a little bit more into that. I know a few players have come out. T.I., or the rapper T.I., came out and said that they're racially profiling DeSean Jackson. Now, I'll get into that later. Racially profiling DeSean Jackson. And I'm also going to get into some college hoops a little later, too. If you go over to the website, you can actually, my bracket's up. My bracket is tore up. But if you want to compare your bracket to mine, you know, feel free to go on over there, scrutinize my bracket, make fun of it, tell me what I did wrong, and why you're better. I look forward to it. I had a friend of mine text me. Huge college basketball fan. It's funny, because he's one of those, I've never been a fanatical college basketball person. I've never been fanatical. You know, there's people, you know, because there's different degrees. There's the guy that, you know, I watch it. I'll watch it if it's on. I watch it that, you know, 5 to 3 weeks out of the year. He's the guy that doesn't watch. He may watch some marquee games during the season, but when it comes tournament time, he cannot miss a game. He skips work. He takes vacation. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, there's games, certain games he doesn't watch, or he's not able to watch. He has a DVR, and it's crazy. Like, the guy is so fanatical about watching the bracket, you know, the NCAA tournament. It's crazy. I mean, it's good television, but it's. I don't know. I wish I could share that sort of fandom with him. But he texted me today. He was like, yeah, this Final Four is a little bit different. You know, I'm really rooting for UConn. I don't think Kentucky can do it. And I was thinking, I mean, is there a lot of people outside of Kentucky that really saw Kentucky going far? I mean, they had their struggles all season long, and they seem to kind of materialized and matured here just before, you know, or just before the tournament. They're kind of come into their own thing. And that freshman Randall, he's evidently going to he'll probably end up in the NBA draft with Wiggins and a whole lot of the other ones that, quite frankly, they should probably be staying in college, you know. It's funny, that just leads me back to web. I wrote an article on that, too. Check it out. I mean, it's really worth going over to the website, thechtonsports.com. Go over, check it out. There is a lot of interesting information over there. I work very diligently to make sure I have original content up. I know a lot of places you go, you're going to see a lot of the same stuff. Here, fill out a bracket. You want to be a part of our bracket challenge? Here, be a part of our bracket challenge so we can get your name and your phone number and stuff like that. Maybe I wasn't smart enough to get your personal information so I can email blast you and sell it off to other marketing people, but I just want you to go to the website. Because if you go to the website, I mean, there's going to be something there you like. It might be a link to uncork.com where you can save up to 10% on your spirits. I mean, who doesn't want to save 10% on anything? You know? I do. And it especially on alcohol, you know? That's always a great thing to save money on. I know my guest that is going to be joining me here any second now. I know he appreciates a good discount, especially on alcohol. So I want to welcome on this evening Mr. Richard Reese. How are you doing this evening, man? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Richard?
It's not Richard.
It's not Richard?
Nah, it's Daniel.
Daniel?
Yeah.
All right, Daniel. I got a guest calling here in a minute. He's calling from Nebraska.
Well, I'll bring you back then.
No, you can just hang out. You can just listen to the show. Hang out. I'll bring you back on here in a minute. Man, that's Richard fucking with me. I might have to do top of his throat. Just saying. See, that's the thing. Like, you obviously could tell right now, I'm not screening calls. It's a funny thing, because I'll have guests come on. Like, it's happened before. I had B.B. Abbott on last year to talk about baseball. He's an agent. He's known for being Chipper Jones' agent. You know, he got that the largest contract in Major League Baseball history. He called in, but he called in on a different number than what he told he was going to call in on. So, I mean, I get your phone numbers, but if I don't know what number you're calling in on, and it'll be different. So I see this number just chilling there, you know. I was like, man, he's supposed to be calling in here. He's going to be calling in here any minute now. Where the fuck is he at? Damn it, BB. Where you at? And he texts me. He's like, I'm on hold. I've been on hold for 15 minutes. And I was like, hold? Got three people on hold. I was like, which number are you calling in from? He's like, I got to go. So he waited on hold for 15 minutes. Didn't bring him on. Because he called in on a different number than he said he was going to call in on. That's what happens. So, all right. What I'm going to do, we're coming up on the top of the hour now. I'm going to go ahead and take the top of the hour break right now. And on the other side of the break, we should be joined by comedian Richard Reese. You're listening to The Cold Hard Truth on Sports here on MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com.
Hey all, this is Matthew Long, the Executioner, here on The Cold Hard Truth on Sports. Now, I know you've heard me talk about the Touch Pro Basketball on my shows before. My boy, Tony Greer, is the inventor of the ball. If you're out there training and playing basketball and you don't have this ball, you're missing out, because it's going to help you improve your hand-eye coordination, your dribbling, and your shooting skills. So go today and get the Touch Pro Basketball at touchproball.com.
Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. A few of many, many more careers that the Connecticut School of Broadcasting can lead you to. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour. With an on-hands approach and instructors being broadcast professionals themselves, you're guaranteed to get a first-class learning experience. Get your career in the broadcasting field started the right way. Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour.
Executioner here.
Now, I'm sure a lot of you listeners are just like me. You like to spend a little time on the internet, sharing video, looking at video, but the problem is, you can't stream live if you're playing on Tumblr or YouTube. Well, if you go right now to Giesel.net, you can sign up for your free account and start streaming live and share that with all of your friends. That's Giesel.net, Giesel.net.
Why haven't you learned anything?
For sports news, updates, and general tomfoolery, head on over to thechtonsports.wordpress.com.
Gotta be careful, though. We don't want it to get too excited and go off in your hair.
Hey, all, this is Matthew Long with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports and the Triangle Offense. I just wanted to take some time to tell you about Pest Bear, a wonderful company. They've been around for 20-plus years. They have over 11 branches in Florida. Great license. Certified specialists, and guess what? They do more than pest control. They also take care of termites, as well as lawn care, sprinkler systems, and much, much more. Call today, 1-800-PESTBEAR. That's 1-800-737-8232.
WCSB Sports and MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com.
Welcome back here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. I'm your host, the Executioner, Matthew Long, here on MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com. Should have comedian Richard Reese out of Omaha, Nebraska, joining me here in just a few minutes. A little tied up. It's funny, I'm already getting reports of people saying the attendance is poor at the Rays game today. It's the second game of the year. Tropicana Field didn't move. The team didn't change enough. What, you know, people understand, opening day sells out. And for some teams, that's the last sellout of the year. You know, Tampa Bay Rays are in a unique situation. I know I got into it and I went off on a tangent, but they played well last night. They won 9-2. 9-2 opening game. That's phenomenal. David Price went 7 1/3 innings. And did his thing. It was awesome. And now people are telling me, attendance is poor. People aren't showing up to the game, but you can't blame the fans, though. People are like, well, if attendance is poor, who are you going to blame? Isn't that who goes to the game? Yeah, the fans do go to the game. You're right, they do. The fans do go to the game, but it's not the fans in this scenario. In sports franchising, there's a 2/3 to 1/3 ratio. Usually 2/3 of it is corporate ticket sales, suites, bundled tickets. Like, essentially they buy a group, and you go in as general admission. You sit wherever within that block of seats. And then the other third is from, the other third is actually from the fans. Well, in the Rays case, it's opposite of that. The fans actually buy 2/3 of the season tickets. They're falling short on corporate, the chunk, the huge chunk. So that's why you see the attendance lacking at the Trop. They don't have enough business around there to support the corporate ticket sales side of it. It's Clear Isle, not the end of a peninsula. It's 35 minutes from the closest place in... It's like 30, 35 minutes from the closest place in Tampa, where you have the majority of businesses. So it's really a unique situation. Speaking of a unique situation, I got an invite this week to Joke Dome that if I was in Omaha, if I was in Nebraska, I would definitely go. So anybody in and around Nebraska, like if you're in Minneapolis, you better catch a flight down to Joke Dome in Omaha, because it'll be well worth it. Because my guest here tonight, Mr. Richard Reese, will be there. How are you doing tonight, Richard?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to hear from you. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I had a great segue before the break. Somebody called in. Daniel called in from Nebraska. I thought it was your number because it started with 8. It was 840 instead of 850.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Like, oh, here's Richard. I did a great segue to uncork.com so you can get a 10% discount on your spirits. And I said, this guy likes to have a 10% discount on his spirits. How you doing, Richard? He's like,
I'm doing good. You definitely remember me, too. Man, you got a great voice for radio, man.
Really?
I did not even know it was you, to be honest.
I just found out right now. Thanks.
You have a great voice. I love it, man. We need to hire you for some, like, announcements.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't done really anything like that since those sex tapes. But anyways, it's weird doing voiceover on sex tapes, though.
Narrating.
Basically sound effects. It wasn't even narrating. That's the weird part. They just had me doing sound effects because the one guy that did the video, he was mute. I was like, what? Okay.
That's
I'll
so
go,
awesome.
Did you pay me? They're like, you can get a bunch of free DVDs,
though,
you can
right?
sell, but I'm not going to pay you. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll sell them. So Jarrell
you
bought
go under
like
a pen name? You can't use your real name for that.
Nope. I can't tell you the pen name. It's Go Long. That's all. I just say Go Long.
That's so
like,
cool,
first name
man.
Whose first name is Go? I was like, I could be Asian.
It's like some Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly. I got a...
Florida treating you.
Florida's wonderful, the weather. But you know all the crazy people move here.
Oh,
careful,
yeah.
Bums.
I've been seeing it on the news.
I just always tell people, Lincoln had two bums. The ashy-footed black dude, and then... three. Then there's the one dude that, you know, plays the little washboard, and then the other white bum. He just, holds a sign... Need money for beer, like it's funny.
Yeah. They still got the same three bums there, man.
Yeah. Here, you got to be careful because they could be on bath soaps and they might eat your face. So, yeah, you got to...
See, that's scary, man. That's some modern-day zombie stuff that I don't want to deal with.
It'll eat your whole face. Oh.
I know. I mean, you kind of need your face, you know?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Except for in radio, I guess you just need a... A voice. Or
yeah,
in
voice to radio and no face at all.
And voiceover on porns. You just need a voice, I guess.
Yeah, it's a hell of a resume right there.
You got to build it somehow. So how things treating you up there? You moved to Omaha, right?
I live in Omaha. Things are going well. I'm just trying to keep busy with the stand-up and different projects and whatnot. I'm keeping busy. I'm doing good. No complaints.
Well, that's good. You got a DVD out now? Is that right?
Yep. I have a DVD. I actually only have one copy left, and it's my copy, so I can't get rid of it. But you can watch it online for free.
Download it?
At this point. Yeah,
I pirated
it. Or download
it. I pirated it earlier, so
I worked with a gentleman who had filmed a comedy special, and he had to pirate it himself because the company wouldn't let him sell it, so he had to bootleg his own stuff to sell it.
Bootleg your shit. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
That's these times, man. 2014, everybody trying to get that money.
Exactly. And they try to throw that, oh, I got the copyrights. Copyrights?
Yeah.
I got a laptop. I could copyright your shit onto another disc.
It's even better when you download illegal movies on a stolen laptop.
Hey, don't be telling my business on the, we're live. It's not a secure line.
Oh man.
So where I know I've seen you you've done the Denver Improv, you've been all over Omaha, Lincoln. I know you did Chicago, you did the comedy festival that you won.
Yeah,
it was like
I was
the American Idol.
I did Chicago. I did New York Comedy Festival a few years back. I was just in, where was I? At Hartford, Connecticut. I've been traveling a little bit.
Oh, you got to come down here. You know the Tampa Improv's down here. You got to.
No, I'm in with the Improv and Funny Bone people, so I imagine I will be there soon. Hopefully this year, man, before the year's up, I can get down there.
I'll holler at the general manager and let him know, hey, you know. Got to hook him up. I mean, he'll do it for, you know, a bottle of whiskey in a hotel room. But anyways.
Yeah. I got nothing against hanging out on the beach.
I told him, I said, you have to have a cab, though. He doesn't like planes. Just a long-ass cab ride.
Oh, man. I was like, start the meter when we get to Tennessee.
If it's on their dime, who cares?
Yeah. A cab. Man, that
yellow
meter,
cab.
They have to add, like, extra numbers on there.
To the power three and shit.
When's the last time you've been back to Nebraska?
I was back for the UCLA game that we got, that Nebraska loss.
Oh, the talking about football.
Yeah, it was a sore. I didn't get my media pass. It's partially my fault because you shouldn't ask for a media pass like 8 days before the game. You should think ahead. But I haven't changed, so I didn't.
So hey, I gotta be, gotta
be better.
Long, man. You ain't supposed to. That should be automatic.
Yeah, I mean, I figured they thought, they got that memo I was coming back. They figured I would go. I got tickets, though, good tickets. My cousin is actually engaged to a player, so I sat like 9 rows back on the 48-yard line, which is kind of better than the high-ass press seats anyways.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out in the end. So, but I noticed a few changes. Like there's a bridge that was finished that goes right by UNL. They called it something. I don't remember what it's called. Memorial Parkway or something. And then Barry's.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount of money down there.
And Barry's reconstructed stuff. They got a rooftop bar and everything. I was like, this is Barry's? This is where, like, you had to be 35 plus to get in this joint.
Yeah, I know.
And now, young
and
people.
Honestly, man, before we know it, we going to be 35 plus.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm...
But we got a while. We got a while.
Every year, I get a little closer. Crazy.
Yeah. I'm going to start going backwards one of these years.
Yeah. It was funny. I was reading something you had up. I heard it. I heard you say it. That you've been working on the sobriety. Is that right?
I got a DUI some years back. And actually, it was a DUE. I was driving under everything when they got me. And I pretty much I slowed down after that. Like, I was pretty much, I was headed towards a bad place. And so, yeah, I got my stuff together. Now, I do still drink, but I'm one of those guys that can, I know my limits now at this point. So, I am, it took a lot for me to finally realize that, but now that I have a lot of good things that happened. The first year I got sober was when I came out with my first comedy special, so that's a sign right there to get on the right track.
Hey. It's always a wonderful thing. I heard you was on, you were on 30 Day. You were taking it 30 days at a time?
I was on day 30, and then I realized, I was on day 29 of going 30 days without drinking, and then I realized that I had just been counting down from 30 at that point. So, yeah, you got to learn to pace yourself.
It's one day at a time, though. I mean, that's the best way to take it. Yeah. I mean,
I go to the same bar every Monday and drink, and I realized that I needed to stop going to that bar when I was in the restroom, and on the wall it said, call this number for a good time, and I called the number, and my phone started ringing.
You gotta stop watching Cheers at your house. That's what it is.
Yeah, I know. Everybody knew my name, even the cops.
I hear the box DVDs are riot, though. They talk shit about each other.
The who is that?
The box DVD of Cheers. I hear it's a riot. They talk shit about each other.
Really?
That's my only movie reference tonight. I'm done after that.
What's your favorite movie of the year so far?
I haven't even been to one yet this year. I was supposed to go to the premiere for Draft Day, and I didn't make it to the premiere. So I'll go to theaters and watch it. But I'm trying to think, last movie, because I've been hitting up Redbox, because Redbox is
$1. Love Redbox.
$1.60 and it's me. I look up every promo code there, and I use like 3 different cards. So I pretty much never pay for Redbox because always finding Googling a promotion code or something. And what pisses me off?
The only thing I don't like about Redbox is when there's a line.
Yeah.
And people don't know how to work it.
It's you just push the button. Give me your credit card.
I saw a lady. She got her movie out, and she, like, put it right back in by accident. She didn't even
get to watch. Nope, don't want this one. They're the worst thing. I got the movie Driven last year, which is...
Sylvester Stallone?
No, it was the other, it was a new one. I don't remember who was in it.
Was it the movie Rush?
Driver.
Oh, I love that
movie.
Yeah,
I fell asleep 3 times. I woke up. What's this? Oh, it's the previews of the movies before the movie starts. Like, I don't know why. I know I never fall asleep during movies. I fell asleep 2 movies ever in my life. That movie and Ali. I fall asleep in Ali every single time when Jamie Foxx starts talking to him in Africa. I swear, every single time I'm out. It's like somebody hypnotized me and said, when you watch Ali and it gets to the part where Jamie Foxx is going to talk, you will fall asleep. Okay.
That's funny.
See, I didn't think hypnotism worked on me. Evidently, it does.
Yeah, I can see you falling asleep doing Driver because that movie is, I think it's like 4 words throughout that whole movie.
Yeah, he don't ever talk. He's like, yeah. Mm-mm. Who's this?
Yeah.
That's like his whole, I just did every line in the movie right there. And I was pissed because I got it free. And then I forgot to take it back like 3 days in a row. So I ended up paying like $6 to rent a movie that I hated and fell asleep to numerous times. So I was pissed off about it. That's the thing that gets you.
Like Blockbuster used to get you with them late fees. That's what Redbox is doing. But
dude,
it's nowhere near as much. I mean, I owe Blockbuster like $30,000. I'm pretty sure that's why they went out of business.
I found one the other day. There is one Blockbuster on the planet. It's in Tampa. I found
it.
Really? Yeah. And there's 2 payphones left in the planet. One of them is on US 31 in Riverview, right by Tampa. The other one is near a project on Rome and Cass in Tampa. So those, I was going to take pictures of them, but
I guess phone booth and other things go down there and retire too.
Exactly. Like people driving, they're retired while they're driving or just tired because they'd be falling asleep or driving the wrong way. See, people are crazy here, man. That's the only thing. You know, like in Nebraska, you kind of have a trade-off. You like the people, you hate the weather. You got to deal with the weather, you know. You move down to Florida, you like the weather, and you got to deal with the people, you know. It's a trade-off. But I don't have to scoop people when I go out to my car in the morning, you know. So I was like, I'll go with
No, if you do, that means that dude eating face has been running around.
I know, right?
Yeah.
This guy don't have a face. Either a chimpanzee's on the loose or somebody's on that bath salts. One of the two. Damn bumps.
I miss payphones, though, man. I used to call my high school girlfriend from the payphone because we didn't have a house phone. And I didn't even have a quarter. I call her collect and say your name at the beep, and I would say my number at the beep. 476-345. I would just say that real quick, and then she would just call me back at the payphone.
Bitch, this is the 14th time I've done this in a row. Just call me back. You know the number.
Yeah,
you accept
exactly.
A collect call from, are you fucking being serious right now? You better call me.
Those are the days, man.
Those were the days.
Nah, back everybody knows people got cell phones.
Yeah, you know, that's some shit, you know. And what is it with homeless people asking for weird change? Do you have $1.47? I'm like, $1.47? That was kind of fucking specific right there. $1.47?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All I got is a nickel.
They'll say, let me get 37 cents. I'm trying to get to Colorado. Like, I want to go home and pack my bags because they know some deal that I don't know about.
That's all you need is 37 cents?
Yeah.
You don't think when you go to Greyhound?
That round trip?
You don't think you can find that on the way to Greyhound?
Yeah.
Dude, I find money all the time. Not just in my dryer, which really excites me the same as if I walk out. The other day, I walked out the house and I found $10 on my doorstep.
And, oh, wow.
I was excited, you know, going through the day. My wife called me on her lunch break. She's like, sweetie, I lost the $10. I was like, you lost $10? Okay. Well, she's just taking $10 out of my wallet. She's like, I did, and I lost it. She's like, can you look around for me? I was like, I found $10 on the front. Oh, man. Took all the excitement out of it for me.
Yeah.
Because I thought I got the mailman, because he's been delivering my Sports Illustrated late, so I thought I got $10 out for that late delivery.
Oh.
it was my money that my wife robbed from me that I found.
That's funny. So you was mad twice.
I was mad twice. I was Sports Illustrated.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, $10.
Yeah. I lose money all the time. I never find it.
Hey, man, it's great having you on tonight. And this is...
thanks for having me on, man.
Hey, anytime. Anytime you want to call up and kick it or come down here. You don't even have to get a hotel room. You just stay in the guest room here. So,
nice. Shout me a link so I could share this on Twitter and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'll get you the link for the show. And people can go to richardreeselive.com, and you can get a downloaded copy of the DVD or the show, Richard's comedy show. Check it out. It's worth it. Or you can check out his YouTube channel. It's you want to help me on that one real quick?
On the YouTube channel. Well, for the special on the website, just use the code FrizzyFree, and you can get it for free. And YouTube, I'm on YouTube under Cosmic Pretzel 9.
Cosmic Pretzel 9, yep.
Yep.
I'm pulling it up right now, but Rosa Acosta is stretching, so I didn't want to take my eyes off the screen. So.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, man, I'm glad you're doing your thing, man. Keep up the good work, brother.
Will do, will do. Keep holding it down there, and hopefully I see you down here in Tampa before too long.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
All right, appreciate it, man.
All right.
That was Richard Reese, comedian. You know, it's crazy. He's one of those young cats, you know. You see somebody at a young age have a dream and something that they want to do. You see, you know, passion in what they're doing, that they love it, they enjoy it. And he's just one of those guys that just goes to show, you stick to it, things start working out for you. Just keep hitting the nail on the head. Keep pushing forward, and things will start to work themselves out. We're about to go to... I'm going to take a quick break here. I will catch you on the other side. I want to get into a little bit of DeSean Jackson and what's going on surrounding DeSean Jackson. Right after this here on MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com.
A long time ago, there was an ancient prophecy from the outermost edges of space that knows no boundaries. This fall, Earth as we know it will never be the same. One man, one weapon. Critics are calling it the best comedy of the year. From the makers of the Internet, this is his last chance to save the world. But then, the world does not exist.
Man, forget all that. Just download my special, man. Or get the DVD when it's available.
They will search for answers.
The link's posted below.
Hey all, this is Matthew Long, the Executioner, here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports.
Now, I know you've heard me talk about the Touch Pro Basketball on my shows before. My boy, Tony Greer, is the inventor of the ball. If you're out there training and playing basketball and you don't have this ball, you're missing out, because it's going to help you improve your hand-eye coordination, your dribbling, and your shooting skills.
So go today and get the Touch Pro Basketball at touchproball.com.
Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. A few of many, many more careers that the Connecticut School of Broadcasting can lead you to. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour. With an on-hands approach and instructors being broadcast professionals themselves, you're guaranteed to get a first-class learning experience. Get your career in the broadcasting field started the right way. Sports radio host, producer, news anchor, the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour.
Executioner here.
Now, I'm sure a lot of you listeners are just like me. You like to spend a little time on the internet, sharing video, looking at video, but the problem is you can't stream live if you're playing on Tumblr or YouTube. Well, if you go right now to Giesel.net, you can sign up for your free account and start streaming live and share that with all of your friends. That's Giesel.net, Giesel.net.
Why haven't you learned anything?
For sports news, updates, and general tomfoolery, head on over to thechtonsports.wordpress.com.
Gotta be careful, though. We don't want it to get too excited and go off in your hair.
Welcome back here to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. I'm Matthew Long, the host of this ragtag show. Getting a little bit of breaking news here, but given the day, I'm double checking the validity of it. I don't believe it to be true, so. So forgive me for my brief pausing here. Just have to double check to make sure the legitimacy of some news that is coming across now. Yeah, I'm not going to put that on air. That'd be funny if that trends, though. All right, I want to get a little bit into DeSean Jackson. And if you want to join me in on it, the number's 347-237-5539 to join here and on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. Or if you're too shy to talk on the phone and call in, you can definitely head on over to Facebook or Twitter. And the handles for the show are at the THT on Sports. Or you can hit me up directly at Matt Long Sports. And I spell my name the right way with two T's. So. One T is something you wipe your feet on. Two T's is a person. In case you didn't know. The CAPA, also, I wanted to get into a little later on the show, and the unionization of the Northwestern football players. I missed out on some stuff last week because the show was on Tuesday, and a lot of stuff broke Wednesday and Thursday, and didn't have a chance to talk about it. But I'm going to get – there's so much to talk about. And remember, this show, if you're listening to it right now on Blog Talk Radio right now, if you're listening to it live, the show is a three-hour show. At the two-hour mark, at 10:30 Eastern, it cuts off. So there's about an hour left in the show before it cuts off. And we go into overtime, which is available two ways. One – by calling in, 347-237-5539, you can listen or talk. If you call in and listen, let me know you're just listening. Because otherwise, I'm going to put you on the air. Okay? Just want to listen? Pick door A. Okay?
if you want the red pill and you want to be involved in it, you know, that's too. That's cool too. Or after the show's over and cuts off, you can just hit play again and listen to the show again, and it will sync up with it. But it's only available on podcasts. Last Hour is only available on podcasts. So the lines are starting to light up a little bit now. For those of you, just to kind of recap, that have been under a rock or have been paying all attention to what is going on, the Philadelphia Eagles released their Pro Bowl wide receiver, DeSean Jackson. Coming off of a career year, the best season he's ever had in his career. A very good, young, dynamic receiver. I think he's 26 or 27 years old. So it's not like, you know, he's hit that 30 mark and you need to be weary of it. It's gotten to the point where, I mean, what has gone on has kind of taken legs and ran a bunch of different directions. Again, I wrote an article on this into last week on Friday. It's up over on thechtonsports.com. You can go over there and check it out. Full article on it. But I'm gonna talk a little bit about some of the stuff I had in the article tonight. So there's been some different thought process of why someone would release a player of his caliber. You know, if somebody's coming, if you're looking at it like this, if they release him now, like they did, he's owed $6.5 million. $6.5 million. That's a good chunk of change. That's a lot of liability right there. $6.5 million. So if they say goodbye to DeSean like they did, $6.5 million will hit their cap, and they have to pay him. If they wait till June 1st, they don't own the $6.5 million. So, and they can still cut him. But I guess the bigger question is, regardless if you're going to pay him or not, why do you cut a guy that was probably one of the biggest parts of your offense? He had a career season. He had a career season. Doesn't really make sense to get rid of him. The other direction people are going, he doesn't fit in Chip Kelly's scheme. His scheme, you know. He doesn't fit in his scheme. Well, Chip Kelly's scheme is a lot like Ricky Bobby's scheme. Go fast. And if you're not first, you're last. That's pretty much it. That's how it breaks down. And he does that. He came off a career year. Obviously, he fits in the scheme of things. He put up stats. He put up scores. He had a career year. He was a Pro Bowl wide receiver. He fit in the scheme. So I kind of ruled the scheme out. Some people say that there's some tension between them. Didn't really know how to deal with them. You know, and that comes to the other part of it. You know, there's rumors floating around that he wants more money. He just got a contract not too long ago, making him one of the highest paid receivers in the game. So he wants more money tacked onto it. And I don't necessarily know if he is completely worth that, but he's a good player, he's a dynamic player, he adds a different speed option, deep threat that a lot of teams need, either the speed or the deep threat. He's not the best wide receiver all the way through. If you want a good route runner, he's not the best route runner. He's not the worst, but he's not the best. He's creating space with his speed. And that's really what he does. That's the way he gets open. So he wants more money. Okay. So he has a bad attitude about things. You know, maybe he's missing some meetings. You know, that happens a lot. Some coaches don't like that. Some coaches don't put up with that. You know, they're mandatory meetings. It's a business. You can't be late to work. I get it. And then he wants more money. Now, when a player wants more money and he's under a contract and he's a part of a union, you understand that there's a chance that he strikes. And that striking is a holdout. He still gets paid. That $6.5 million, he would still get paid that, unless they released him after June 1st of this year, which then they wouldn't owe him anything. But you're already in the minicamps by then. It's kind of late in the game to release somebody. But they decided that they're going to take the cap hit. And whatever happened, I don't think it's a bad attitude. I don't think it's a scheme. $6.5 million is a good chunk of change. It may not be a lot. It's a lot of money to anybody. I don't care how much you make. That's a lot of money to anybody. And I'll put it this way. I'm saying, a lot of people say, you know, the rich white guys that own those business, that own these franchises, they don't care about $6.5 million. They could care less about $6.5 million. Now, they do. Because I'll tell you this. Wealthy stay wealthy. The wealthy stay wealthy. And one of the ways that the wealthy stay wealthy, the only way they separate money from money is, one, they separate from their money to make money. That's one. Two, if they can write it off. That $6.5 million that DeSean Jackson is going to get now and be able to get a contract with, from what I've heard, might very well be with the Redskins. It says something. They're not going to be able to write that off. It's not a charity. It's wages. It's an expense. So the last part and the most in-depth part of what's going on with DeSean Jackson is this other notion that he's in a gang or he's affiliated with gang members or on numerous of other reports, him being tied to murders. Well, I've read those reports. Some of the reports are very unclear about, you know, if you know somebody that killed somebody, that doesn't mean that you're linked to a murder. That's kind of his situation. He is not a suspect in those murders. He was not one of the individuals that was considered for them to look out for while the murders happened. He's not somebody that funded the murders. So it's hard to say, you know, his involvement. He obviously didn't have one. Now, you can say he has ties, gang affiliations, if you want to say that. Sure. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, he was talking, I've heard him talk on numerous occasions about growing up in New York and him, you know, drug dealers and stuff like that. He, once upon a time, considered that life and that route. And they said, no, you're too smart for this. You better get on. And he did. But he said it doesn't stop him if he sees those guys, give him a handshake, a hug, or talk to him, you know, toss him some Knicks tickets or something like that, you know. That doesn't stop that from happening. So is that a affiliation? You can call that affiliation with somebody that's an acquaintance. Sure. Does that mean you're a gang member? No. You know. Now, some of the suspicious evidence I do see with Jackpot,
you know, I did spend some time while in Nebraska working for the Department of Corrections. I was a correctional officer for a little over 2 years. So, I mean, we had special courses on just related to gang, gang tattoos, gang signs, you know, about all kinds of stuff, gang-related stuff. And reading over those articles, there are some validity in the articles pertaining to Jackson and gang-related things. The spelling of the record label, things like that, little things like that. So is could there be some sort of a link? Yes. Yes, there could be some sort of link between Sean Jackson and the Crips gang. There could be. It's there. Signs are there. Is there anything right now for somebody to necessarily be alarmed of his activity? I don't think so. But if you have somebody willing to give up $6.5 million to get rid of him and not have to worry about that, could be more to it than what we're seeing. So I know the Raiders are doing very extensive background checks on him, and so are the 49ers. So those are the two teams out west that I heard of that are interested, but they're doing very thorough background checks. I think Buffalo or Cleveland are a much better fit for him. And those are two teams that people really aren't talking about. But I'm going to go ahead and hit the phone lines here now. Let's see what y'all think. Welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Tony Wiley, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, hey, what's up, fellas? What's up, everybody? Radio world.
So, what's your take on what's going on in the situation with Deshaun Jackson?
Well, honestly, and this is personal opinion, I think Deshaun Jackson went into his negotiation and wanted more money. I think Deshaun Jackson wasn't willing to accept no for an answer. And I think just Deshaun Jackson cussed somebody out that he shouldn't have been cussing out. Somebody that felt like he didn't have the right to be talking to them the way he was talking to them because of who they felt they were in the organization. And Deshaun Jackson, with his background of being from the hood, told whoever it was, you can suck on the two things that's swinging below between my legs.
These?
Yeah. And I think that really upset that person. And that person was absolutely determined, okay, you want to play with me? I'm going to show you hardball. I will ruin you. And I will ruin your whole image in this entire league, in this entire profession. That person went out and did a campaign. Or I don't say that person in themselves, but that person got somebody to get somebody to get somebody to start a smear campaign to destroy the character of this young man. And from there, that's where we got where we got.
Because I know the LAPD came out and they said unequivocally he was not a part of their investigation. He had nothing
right
to do with the homicides. They are not linking him to those murders and the situations that were going on in L.A. Now, as far as the people he's associated with, now, he's associated with the people that were involved, that were charged.
Right.
And
some of them were a part of his record label. Now, when you get into the music world, especially in rap, specifically that genre of rap, you're probably going to run into a few guys that have that kind of past or that kind of present.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The music kind of personifies that. So is it something that should be surprising to people? I don't think so, but
right.
People seem to generally be surprised.
I don't know gangster why. Rap does sometimes have gangsters in it.
Yeah. I mean, look at Ice-T.
Right.
Now he's not really a gangster anymore, but just he was.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I'm not
going
to
the thing that. The thing that I'm saying is people who grew up outside of the fences and the million-dollar homes, even if you grew up in an average neighborhood, you grew up around some shady people because there's shady people in every neighborhood, black, white, blue, green, whatever. And just because you had some friends when you were younger, when you were teenagers, when you lived in your hood, and now those people are bad guys, but you used to hang out with them, that doesn't make you a bad guy. And that's pretty much what they're saying. Oh, look at these people he used to associate with. I wonder what he was doing. No, just because these were my friends before they decided to take the road they took does not mean that I'm a bad person because they took the wrong road. Look at the road I took. That's why I'm in the NFL.
Exactly. I mean, he does have probably a few more talents than they did. But, I mean, if you look back at Deshaun's past, though, he no arrests, no DUIs, no. He doesn't have any prior, any prior convictions
right.
or charges. So it's not like he is not. It's like he's a deviant of society. You know, he's been a fairly model citizen. Maybe he wants to get paid. You know, Chris Johnson held out. He wanted to get paid. He got paid. And now he might be headed to the Jets. Who knows?
And I really think that's what it is. I think that Deshaun Jackson held out and told them, no, after what I did for you this year, you're going to pay me. And then when the officials were like, no, we don't have that kind of money, he straight out went ghetto on them and told them, this is what you can do. And that ticked them off, and they were like, look here, you are screwing with the wrong person. We can destroy you. And he's like, do what you do. My actions speak louder than your words because – people just saw what I did this year on the football field. And, I think it really is a pissing contest.
So you really don't think there's anything to him in any of the relationships that he has with Jackpot, his record label, and the people he hangs out? There's nothing to do with that?
No, I really think this is internal Philadelphia Eagles.
So let me ask you this. So why is it the CC? Because it's known as far as when it comes to gang affiliated things that people that are identified with the Crips gang will not put a C next to a K because it symbolizes Crip Killer. So they'll do two C's. And he spelled Jackpot CC. Is that just a coincidence? Like, it's a typo? I mean,
okay, but
it's his
the
label.
The thing is, you don't know what CC, just because CC might mean Crip Killer, CC could also mean cool colors. You know, just because you put two letters together does not mean they mean what other people think they mean.
CK is Crip Killer. CC is what they use to avoid having the C next to the K.
Okay, but see, at the same time, what I'm saying is that is your assumption. You don't know what that CC means. That CC could be personal to his mama. You don't know. I mean, that could be something very personal between them that only those two understand. But because you understand CC to mean something that has something to do with the Crips, because, you know, the Crips use a C, that's crazy. Until someone asked him, Deshaun, what does CC mean? Who has asked him that?
I don't think anybody's asked him that, but I don't think he's been made available to really...
Why wouldn't somebody just ask him that? Deshaun, can you tell us what CC means? Because it could mean anything.
Yeah, I don't think that question is going to come. I don't think anybody's going to ask that question. I think,
but why would you in the public go and pretend like or speculate on what it means if you're not willing to go to the source and just ask? That makes no sense.
I hear you. Maybe I'll hit him up.
I just did. Deshaun, bro, if you hear this show, I need to know what the hell CC means. Holler at your boy.
Okay. All right.
Because personally, you know, that's just like me. Me and my sons have a saying, and it's because I was raised saying it. And it's, the saying is all the world. That's our way of saying I love you, all the world, right? Well, the initials for all the world is ATW. My initials are ATW. So when you see ATW, you might think I'm saying Antonio Tony Watley. But it's according to when I put it, because I might just be saying all the world to my children.
It's a good point. It's a good point. It's interesting.
You know, I'm just saying, until you ask that man what that stands for, you really don't know.
I think that's a very valid question that needs to be asked. But like you said, there's speculation. There's already information out about things that could be around it, and that's what the reports I read. And that was my only issue with the reports. It seems to be a lot of speculation. It is basically outlining I don't want to call it, for lack of a better word, conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
Saying this is this and this and this is this and he's associated with this and here's the six degrees
of separation.
Deshaun Jackson,
connect the
and
dots.
The Crips gang, and that's kind of what the reports were. It weren't so much of, you know, his right hand man killed the guy that he had beef with in the club. It had nothing to do with that.
Right.
It had everything to do with some guy he had no link with got killed by guys that he knows. That's really what it came down to. And LAPD kind of basically ruled him out. Let me bring Clausell on the line here real quick. I know Clausell has a different point of view of it, too. How are you doing tonight, Clausell?
Good, man. Good.
That's good to hear. So let me have it, man.
What was the question? Why they got rid of him?
Yeah, why do you think they got rid of him? I know you said something about the Josh Freeman. He's getting the Josh Freeman treatment.
Yeah, definitely. He's getting worse than the Josh Freeman treatment. You know, they're just trying to make him. They're trying to diminish his character. I don't necessarily know if I have anything different to say than what Watley had to say. I don't know if according to the way Watley said it, but I'm thinking if somewhere on the line he didn't get along with the management, the coach, whoever the administration there, and the administration was out on a mission to make this guy look bad.
So why? Why would you, if you have an asterisk?
Because they have a personal issue with him. Why would they want to do? Because the administration has a personal issue with him.
So he's going to let personal beef get in the way of $6.5 million?
No, it's not about him having personal beef. No, he didn't want to renegotiate his deal or his dealings with the administration.
He doesn't have to pay him more money. He signed a contract. You pay for this many years.
Right, but then they want to renegotiate it. They wanted to renegotiate his deal.
Yeah, they wanted to add more money to it. He didn't, and they didn't want to renegotiate.
Well, I thought they wanted him to take a pay cut or something.
Well, no. Well, that's kind of where it came. He came in. They said, he went in and he was like, hey, yeah, okay, what's up? They're like, hey, we were thinking about you getting a pay cut. And he was like, hey, I was thinking about getting a pay increase. And they're like, well, we're having cap issues. There's no way we can give you an increase. Like I said, we want to give you a pay cut. And he's like, nah, I'm probably not going to do that. And now they're in a situation where now They could have something on their hands where he holds out and they still have to pay him all the way up to June 1st. If they cut him June 1st, they don't owe him the $6.5 million. They just wipe the slate clean. Nothing hits the cap. But they decided to take that $6.5 million hit. That's my question. Why wouldn't you just wait a couple months? You know, at this point, if you don't like the way the guy's jiving and he is not willing to work with you, then you're assuming he's working against you, cut his ass June 1st. Make it harder for him to find a job. If that's the way you want to do it, why take the $6.5 million cap hit if you don't have to? That's my question.
Oh, you're looking at, well?
Yeah, I'm looking at the business side of it. I mean, I could give a care less. I don't see, on the business side, I just don't see why you would cut a guy if you could wait till June 1st and not owe him the money. But they decided to...
I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I mean, T.I. wants to say racial profiling. People want to say assassinate his character. He doesn't fit in a scheme. And the guy... And that's the scheme is... there's so many articles. Like, people that are professionals, you know, professional beat writers writing, you know, DeSean Jackson just did not fit in Chip Kelly's scheme. He had a career year. How the hell doesn't he fit in the scheme? He is the scheme.
Well, obviously there's some personal friction between him and the organization. There has to be some sort of personal friction
between him and the organization. You think they had $6.5 million worth of beef with him?
I don't know.
That they could just hang on to?
I have to look more at the business side. There must be something else involved in regards to the business side for them to come in.
Check out the article.
He's not a part of a gang. I mean, they don't have any evidence that he's a part of the game.
Yeah.
The article came out and they showed you the reasons why they felt he had gang affiliations, and they were not solid reasons. So, obviously,
you know, what's an affiliation? You know somebody is in a gang? Hell, I know people in a gang.
Why would they say it's ridiculous? If they were trying to assassinate his character, if he was really a part of a gang, I mean, they would have. I don't know. It just the evidence that they showed was ridiculous, and we knew that. You know, but it's something personal between him and the organization. That's what I believe. Now, from the business side of it, there must be something else. If you're just looking at the business side, there must be something else that we don't know about is why they cut him. If we want to go based off what your opinion is, why wouldn't they just let him wait until a month or something like that, or 2 months?
Yeah, a couple months. And by then, because look at it like this. If you wait till, and I said, listen, you don't up his contract. He doesn't agree to take a pay cut. You hold on to him. Start the season with him. If he holds out, he holds out. But still, when you get 4 or 5 weeks into the season, what are you gonna find out at that point? One, you're gonna find out who's hurt, because people are gonna be hurt by then. Because undoubtedly the first 5 weeks, big players go down. They do every year. Somebody's going to need somebody. And the rookies that they have there, they're going to look at him and say, you know, he's working out. He really isn't. You know, so now you have more leverage in a negotiate to trade. They wanted a third-round pick. People were only willing to give a fifth-round pick. Now, why are you only willing to give up a fifth-round pick if somebody was a Pro Bowler, as a dynamic player like DeSean Jackson? So I don't think it's just the organization. That's why I'm not buying into they want to assassinate his character. He's an asset. He's money, and they can get something for him. And if they hold him to later in the season, they probably would have been able to get that third-round pick that they wanted.
So then let me ask you this question. You're saying the reports are true. You think he has gang affiliations?
I think undoubtedly he has gang affiliations, but I don't think that he's an active member of a gang.
So, I mean, do you think it's sort of a character issue in regards to why he got left? I mean, why he was released?
I'm pretty sure he's an alpha type person.
Are you saying that? Well, Wiley wants to get back on. So, are you saying that it's personal? I mean, you're trying to say it's an issue with Deshaun's character as to why they let him go.
I think there could be some issue with Deshaun's character. Now, if there wasn't anything to the background issue and the character issue, I mean, the 49ers and Raiders would have already signed him. One of the two would have already signed him.
I thought he gets to choose who he gets to sign. He's going around to, looking around to see who he wants to sign with.
Yeah, but he wants to be with a contender. You're gonna
right.
sign.
So they're gonna offer. Yeah, I think the Redskins are gonna offer him one, and I think the Raiders are gonna offer him something too. And the 49ers.
The Raiders aren't confident because they're still looking into the background. That's what they're having the issue with. I mean, they're right there in the heart of right where he was from. They have more links to his background than other teams do. Oakland and San Francisco have more links to the background just because of geography.
I just don't see him being. And first thing, rappers aren't really. I don't think rappers are gangsters, man.
I mean, 80% of them are studio gangsters. I would say that.
99% of them are studio gangsters. I think like 99% of them are studio gangsters.
You think so?
Well,
you gotta watch out.
Now, they may associate with real gangsters, you know, to make them look like a gangster.
Now you're trying to say they're associating with gangs now? Is that what?
Well, yeah, that's the thing with hip-hop. You have to surround yourself with gangsters to make you look like a gangster, you know. I mean, come on.
Well, that's
you know
why
that.
I never made
I mean,
it. That's what my rap
you know they wouldn't talk that
off.
Stuff.
I was always
you know
skeptical
they wouldn't.
Of it.
Of course. Come on. You know that. Or, like, I don't know, you were saying something about Stephen A. Smith grew up and he had people protecting him from living the street life or something like
no,
that?
No, it wasn't necessarily
like
people
that.
Protecting him that he, at one point in time, this is what he said. I've heard him say this on a few different occasions. You can look it up. I think it's actually on one of the links that you sent me. That
Are you coming on First Take where, you know, the people on the street, he knew drug dealers and they told him to, you know, stay on the straight and narrow?
Because he was attracted to that life at one point in time, and they said, no, you need to get your ass
from
here.
I think that's a flat-out lie Stephen A. Smith is saying.
You think so?
I wasn't there, but I'll say this. You do have people that look out for you in those neighborhoods, but there are a lot of people that will try to pull you down into it, too. I mean, you have that even more so than people trying to, you know, to protect you. I mean, if you're doing something with yourself and you're doing something positive – and you're not in you didn't grow up in a grid environment, you have a lot of people that'll hate and try to pull you down. That's why I've noticed a lot, too.
That's just my opinion.
But I think you have that more than people will be like, man, keep going. But, hey, that's just me, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to hear what Wiley and Mike has to say. Mike's on the line, too.
Yeah, let me bring Cali Mike on here first. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you. You're on the mean streets of Sacktown.
Yeah, I'm out here holding it down. You know, it's funny you guys are talking about gangs, because I've been actually thinking about quitting my job and joining a gang. So, you know, I've been looking at the Crips, you know, really hard. I would like to get in good there. I heard they have really good dental. I think if I get in there, I'd be okay. You know.
You know, I heard they do blood drives too, but. They're killer.
They do blood drive, but if you're in the Crips and you go on a blood drive, you have to cross the V out of your van and put on, I forget what they put else on, you know, something else on there, but, you know.
With plasma donation.
Exactly, plasma. Not blood, plasma. That's where you got it.
I have a feeling a lot of people got confused by that joke. I don't know why. Plasma, what does that have to do with blood?
You know, the thing about Deshaun Jackson is, it's, you know, these organizations, you know, everybody wants to crack the next story, you know, so they're going to multiple different sources, you know, for all their information. So, you know, this whole gang thing, I mean, we don't know where that really came from. You know, it could have came from the Eagles, but it could have came from somebody's second cousin who works for the Eagles, and the Eagles front office somewhere. You know what I mean? It's like, you know.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people have said, and kind of to echo that, a lot of people have said that they don't trust the inner circle around Deshaun Jackson for information because a lot of it has been misinformation.
That could be very true, too. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, when you have so many people involved and, you know, you get a guy like Deshaun who has a big entourage, I mean, like I said, who knows where this man, this could be somebody, you know, this could be Deshaun's best friend, second cousin, who, you know, told TMZ something, you know? And it's like, you know, I mean, my thing is, when they don't
could
come
be an
out, okay, exactly. You know, any, you know, when somebody doesn't come out and go, okay, this person said this, or at least tell me I'm trying to protect my source and it's a reliable source. I mean, I don't put any credence behind it. I mean, look at, you know, especially like with ESPN. I mean, look how many times they've been wrong about stuff, saying that it's a solid source. You know, how many trades we've heard that are going down, how many coaches are switching teams. You know, stuff that never happens. But
and that's funny
because,
you know, I talked about that earlier in the show with Jared Allen and the Seahawks. Everybody's
exactly.
Like, oh, it's a done deal. It's deal in hand. I was
done
like,
deal.
No, that don't even make sense. I didn't think it made sense for him to go there because he doesn't want to share time. And they just signed Bennett and re-signed Averill, both very able starting, and he doesn't want to be in a rotation. So I kind of have ruled that out. But I was like, deal in hand, I guess. I don't know. I didn't report it, but a couple days later.
Exactly. I mean, you know, yeah, it's a joke. I mean, basically, you know, something must have happened. You know, and the sad thing is, even if they were trying to negotiate and this whole gang story came out, it could have forced Philadelphia's hand kind of in the negotiation process. You know, so I mean, who knows? You know, that's why it's kind of bad when stories like this come out with unsubstantiated, you know, sources, because it can accelerate a situation into a state that it really doesn't need to be. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like if I'm Deshaun, I'd be glad to get out of Philly because I don't see them going anywhere. So, I mean, if I'm Deshaun and I could go to the Niners, which you probably won't because of the money, but, you know, go to a contender, dude. Go see if you can go play with Peyton Manning or, you know what I mean? It's like, even though the Raiders got money, I wouldn't go to the Raiders, but I mean, go somewhere and get a ring on your finger. That's the best way to show them, you know, what they lost, you know?
Yeah,
I think
I don't know why. If he goes to Washington, it's because he wants a payday. If you go
exactly,
to Washington
yeah, probably,
or
yeah.
or Oakland, it's because you want a payday.
Yeah. I mean, go to New England. You know, go to Cincinnati. You know, go somewhere where
Cleveland.
You know, go somewhere where you'd be the key. You know.
Cleveland, Buffalo were the two that I thought he fit, probably some of the best fits, and that have money to pay him what he wants. And then, but he's thought, you know, Oakland will pay him, and
I think Buffalo would be a good spot, man. Once they get their offense going, and once Manuel gets comfortable, you put a Deshaun Jackson would be perfect to be on the other side of Robert Woods, man. You know. I think they would fit really well. I mean, they would, you know, like I said, you know, look at how, you know, Marquise Lee, you know, was on the other side of Woods at USC. You know, it'd be kind of like the same thing. You know, I think, you know, like I said, I think Manuel's going to be a serviceable quarterback. So, you know, I think a team like Buffalo, I think he'd be good there. You know, defense is in place. You know, you want to go somewhere, like I said, go somewhere to make them feel sorry. You know, you're coming off a banner year. I mean, to me, like I said, to me, this might be the best, you know, best possible position, you know, he could be in right now, because Mike gets to choose where he wants to go, his talent is obvious. So, you know,
they're paying him $6.5 million to go find more money.
Exactly.
Does it make sense though that they cut him? Do you see? Can you see any? Because I'm from looking at the business side, I don't see any logic behind cutting him now and not waiting until June 1st.
Not really. I mean, like I say, maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe this story exploited their hands, so maybe they didn't want to come off as bad guys. So maybe they wanted to give him a chance to go somewhere else, or you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, that's why I say, you know, like I say, when you get a business aspect and then you also get, you know, the TMZ aspect of gang stories and all that tied into it,
yeah,
it kind of clouds things up, you know, and it really mucks things up, which is kind of sad because that's the way sports in general is going. You know, you hear more stuff going on in the off season than you do in the regular season, you know, and it gets kind of sad because it takes away from, I hate to sound like one of the guys, but it takes away from the purity of the sport. You know, when you start hearing about all this other stuff.
You're the purest guy now?
Be that guy, but it's like, so like, I don't like getting my sports in GMC.
I love TMZ, man. They got me hooked. I watch TMZ and I watch The Dish. I don't know why, but I watch it both.
I have not watched TMZ. I have not went on their website, and I have not went on MediaTakeOut.com in almost a year, and I'm proud to say that. I've had to wean myself from those two because I was getting too much trash news. I only go on CNN, Fox News. I only go on them type of news sites now.
So you hold CNN? So CNN is up there now?
I have CNN, Fox News. I mean, I go...
CNN!
I go
CNN
there,
is the ESPN
there,
of regular news.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
You got to get a wide palate, though. You know, like I said, I go to CNN, Fox News. I even go to Al Jazeera and, check out what they got. You know, so
yeah,
like,
they're
kind of
deep.
I try to keep Jira a wide palate,
different.
You know.
Hey, The Onion isn't real, though. I just want to let you know. So if you check out The Onion, don't believe it.
I've gotten incensed over a lot of fake stories from them. So I'm glad I know that now. Because, like I said, I really didn't appreciate the way they were talking about the little girl last year from the Oscars. You know, that kind of had me mad. But then I found out it was fake. So,
See, Classel jumped off because you were talking about Oscars, because there have been a debate about the girl that won 12 Years a Slave. I messed up the title, didn't it? Is it 12 Years a Slave? Yeah.
Yeah, 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a topic for another time. Let me bring Tony back on here real quick. Tony had something else he wanted to comment.
Oh,
are you back on?
I'm here. I wanted to mention that my scenario of what happened goes strictly from fantasy football. Now you got to listen to this conspiracy theory I got going here. I had DeSean Jackson on my fantasy football team, right? When Nick Foles became the quarterback, Deshaun's numbers plummeted. So, that said to me, Nick Foles and DeSean Jackson don't get along. DeSean Jackson was a Michael Vick fan, because when Michael Vick was playing, DeSean Jackson got all the balls. When Folks was playing, DeSean Jackson didn't get no balls. So it was clear to me that DeSean Jackson and Nick didn't get along, or at least wasn't on the same page. Nick had his own receivers. And because of that, things didn't click with them two. So now that Folks is the quarterback, starting quarterback, that is why they're willing to get rid of Jackson, because they already don't get along. And that's what the coach means by we're going in a different direction with a new scheme, is because I don't think DeSean Jackson and Nick got along, because I think DeSean Jackson was a Vic, not Nick fan.
Vic, not a Nick. I think you were
yes.
I think you were a columnist in a previous lifetime. A Vic, not a
yes.
Nick. I like that pun.
Yeah, that's just my conspiracy theory because of what I saw in my fantasy points. My fantasy points just completely declined every time Foles came in, and DeSean Jackson just wasn't getting no touch. He wasn't getting no yards. The only time I got points is when he got a touchdown for 6 points, and that was just once or twice, and, things just went bad when it was Nick. But when it was Vic, DeSean was the man. So I think that's where it originates. I don't think those two get along, and what the coach is really saying is, now that Nick is our starting quarterback, Deshaun doesn't fit because him and Deshaun don't get along. So as much as Deshaun's a great receiver, we're going to get rid of him because him and our quarterback don't see eye to eye. And I really think that's what's going on. And I just take that from a fantasy football perspective.
I think he fits in those offenses where you have a quarterback that's not a typical pocket passer. Foles is a pocket passer. That's how he's always been set up. That's how he played. That's how he was drafted. You know, I thought Matt White, who actually was the guy who succeeded him at Arizona. I thought he was actually going to turn out fairly decent. I know he played well in preseason last year. Didn't really pan out so much. So we might see something from him this year, though. He was with Jacksonville. So we can see. We can see. Foles, though, I think, you know, as the more games he got under his belt, he looked more and more like the guy that they should have in. I've always
going to Jackson.
No, he wasn't. I've always been a fan of Mike Vick, but just not as a quarterback.
I like Foles. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback, and I'm not saying that the decision to make him the starting quarterback wasn't the right one. But just from my observations in the game, I mean, I didn't see them talking to each other. I'm just saying numbers and percentages of pass percentages from Nick Foles to Deshaun was bad.
He's a deep threat guy. Foles isn't a tremendous passer on the outside of the hash. He's not good at that deep ball on the outside of the hash. It's not his bread and butter, you know.
Right.
He's like a better version of Mike Glennon that's in Tampa. It's kind of that intermediate throw between the numbers. You know, here's the slant, here's this route. There's intermediate routes. That deep route along the sideline on the outside of the hashes isn't his bread and butter. Deshaun Jackson is the deep route guy. He's that stretch of the field guy.
Right.
You know, he's the speed.
Exactly.
So he did.
And he's that
guy
that can speed down the field and then run back and forth and get himself open. And that's what you mean by quarterback that comes out of the pocket and can run around. I think he needs to come to Pittsburgh. Personally, I think he needs to come to Pittsburgh and let Big Ben find him, baby. I would love Deshaun Jackson in black and yellow.
The funny thing is, I think, especially losing Emmanuel Sanders, losing Wallace the year before, I think he would probably be one of those fits. He would be, you know, San Antonio Holmes 2 years before that. You know, he's that receiver.
I would love him in the black and yellow. Boy, that would be the perfect fit to me. That would be the perfect fit.
I haven't seen any interest from them.
Yeah, well, Pittsburgh is pretty under the cover when they do things. You don't hear it until it's done.
Mike Tomlin, I have to say this, though. Mike Tomlin has the best lineup, like hair lineup. Like he gets his thing lined up like every other day, I swear.
Oh wow.
Hairline.
Really?
It's one of the nicest. It's clean.
Goodness.
You don't think
That is an awesome observation. You know what? I'd have never thought about it.
It's real clean. It's like
real clean.
Real clean.
Perfect.
It's like,
it almost looks like a curb.
Yeah, it looks almost like you got it painted on.
Oh, wow.
Are you in the group next? What's painted on? I don't get that. You know, people for a while started using that shoe polish, putting that shoe polish.
I'm gonna leave that alone. Are you calling my coach bald headed and he paint and brings on his hair?
I'm not going there with that. I'm just saying.
No.
He has a very meticulous head of hair. He has the most pinpoint lineup ever.
Very proportional. Yes.
Very.
Like he sent a piece of cardboard on his hair and spray painted it and it left a line. Is that what you're trying to say?
It could be, but it's just
something like that.
Texture. It has texture.
Wow.
It has texture, so I wouldn't say that.
Texture.
It has texture.
Wow.
So it's not paint on. I know it's not paint on, but it...
No spray?
No, I don't think it's nose spray. I don't think it's spray. But he has an awesome lineup. I'm just saying. I mean, I see
people
that their hair is just really jacked, or they want to do too much with it, or, you know.
Yeah.
He ought to tip his barber. That's all I'm saying.
So in other words, he ain't going like most of us broke niggas and taking your razor and trying to get that little eddy up at the top.
He ain't doing that. He's doing it.
He's paying somebody to get that eddy.
Yep, I bet you it's a straight razor too. That's straight
right.
razor right there.
Straight razor.
Yeah,
that might be a butcher knife.
Sharp. The thing is, I'm white, so I can get away with a messed up haircut, and people won't really know. Like, I can wear sleeves sometimes that are just too short, but I'm white, so I can get away with those certain things.
Right,
but
right. Dorks, they don't pay no attention to that.
Yeah, they don't. You know, it looks like every other white guy, and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does. So they screw up my hair. I know it. My wife knows it. She complains about it. I just let it grow out. In a couple of weeks, I go get it cut again. You know, it's
right. Or you can just shake it like you white folks, like white guys do. You know, just shake it. That whole nappy, or y'all don't have nappy hair. Anyway, y'all don't have that. Just whole. I just got out of the bed. Look. Yeah, you know where your hair is like standing straight up. You know that.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know where that's sexy, but. For some reason, that's the sexy look. That whole, I just woke up and this is how my hair was standing look. Yeah.
You know, so people say, you know, that's lazy. I was taking the sexy approach when I do it. I mean, it has nothing to do with apathy. And apathy is not part of it.
You know what? I'm really thinking that white girls just got to the point of where they were so tired of begging their guy to fix his hair, they just started liking it. It became a fad. I don't know. Is that what happened?
Sitcoms. I think it's sitcoms that do it.
Oh, okay.
Because they think
it's watching television.
They're thinking about who they're waking up next to in their fantasies, of course. Who they're waking up next to, and then they see him, and they're like, "Wow!"
And his hair is. Yeah.
Because he doesn't care. He's confident.
No,
he's just out of razors. He's out of razors. And they're like $80.
Exactly, that's what he's real. He is straight out of razors. But, you know, it's the confidence that exudes, right?
He's sleepy-eyed and stuff. It's confidence.
Yeah. Nah. But you know what? He looks confident. He looks like Superman with no razors. But, yeah. I feel
that's
you.
His swag. That's cool. That's cool.
I'm trying, you know.
You're reaching. I like it.
I'm trying. I'm trying here. You know, I'm trying. I really, really am trying.
Just let everyone know that's listening. We got about 4 minutes left in the show, and we're going to go into overtime. That's at 10:30 Eastern. Mm. We go into overtime. So, if you have not called in, call in now, 347-237-5539 is the call-in number. At 10:30, you won't be able to call in, and you won't be able to listen to the show unless you've called in. It will only be available on podcast, so get on that now. Let me bring Callie Mike back on the line here real quick. Hey, Callie, what do you think of Tomlin's lineup out there in Pittsburgh? Isn't that the nicest, neatest lineup that you've seen? At least that I can think of anyone in the NFL. You there? It is not letting me bring Mike on. Here, let me try again. All right, Mike, you there? All right, let me see if I can go to David.
How you doing tonight, David?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. What do you think of this DeSean Jackson situation? Or is it not a situation?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that not only – I don't know how – did he sign with the Skins? Because I didn't keep up with that. Did he ever sign
well,
with the Skins?
Well, I got reports from people that say it's a done deal, but
okay.
I don't know their sources, so I can't – I'm not reporting that. I'm just reporting that they say that.
Okay.
I'm not putting my name.
I think it's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate that the story got floated that he got released because of gang ties when that hasn't been proven. So I think that's unfortunate.
But do you think though? Do you think they booted him because of potential gang ties? Because I know you look from the business side too at a lot of things. Like if you have $6.5 million riding on it and you can wait till June. And you don't have to lose the 6.5? I mean, why do you cut a guy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Because this is the situation. It's everything that has been reported about him being associated with gang members is old news. It's not 2014, even 2013 news. It's 2010 news. So they already... Either they already knew it or they weren't concerned about it to where it didn't matter because he got the big-time contract with them 4 years ago. So I just don't see that being an issue because they already knew about it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is I just think, I from what I read, and, you know, you never really know what the source is. I read that they didn't like his attitude in the locker room. So I don't know why he said why they would cut him before June. But, you know, sometimes they just might feel like they didn't want to get rid of this guy. I don't know why. Like I said, it doesn't make sense to keep the guy around. They may just want to go ahead and start moving in another direction as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I just think the story that ESPN and those guys ran with was really, how do you say, it wasn't really professional, but that's why I don't watch ESPN anymore because they do stuff like that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's a lot of news organizations that just try to run with something they have. I mean, if you look at the reports, I don't know, a lot of different articles and stuff you'll read out there, they'll dance around the topic and kind of say a little bit of what they think about something, but they're not really getting into any of the meat and bone. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I mean, sometimes you have to, I mean, let's face it, in the media industry, the commodity is content. You have to have content. And original content is what drives traffic. So finding that original content is what people look for. It's just sometimes I think people step outside of the boundaries of where their journalistic integrity should be and creating original content. So, you know... You know, I'm not. It's not something that they should be crucified for, but it certainly shed more light on something that is more of a non-topic than it should be, or is less of a non-topic than it should be, rather.
Yeah, I feel you.
What do you think of Mike Tomlin, man? Have you ever noticed his lineup?
No, I missed it. I don't be looking at dude's lineups like that.
I'm just saying, I was looking at a picture, and I was like, wow, that is straight. That is a straight lineup right there. Okay. It's just, I noticed it out the blue.
I wouldn't notice it, however it was. Yeah, I don't really look at that, man.
You're going to notice it now.
Yeah, I feel you. You know what I'm saying?
I know Mike done YouTubed it. Yeah, Googled it. He's laughing. He's laughing now because he knows it's true. It's funny because it's true.
Hey, I was laughing at how quickly he said he didn't know the dude's lineup.
I know.
He denied that like he was robbing a bank.
Nope. Wasn't me. David was there.
It's funny because. When I was in college, our first, like,
the barber was like hella far away, and we didn't have cars, so like we just have to like, it was like the search for a haircut, you know? Like my first semester of college, it was spent looking for a good haircut and sex, you know? And it's like, and you could rarely find either one of them, you know? So it's like, you know, it was tough, man. It was, you know, it was tough to get a good, you know. And it's funny too, because until college, I didn't see my first straight razor edge. So like my edges used to be cool, but they weren't like them straight razor edges, and you know.
Yeah.
And then when I got the fam, I started seeing those straight razor edges. You know, I was like, oh man, I just got my edge game up, you know.
Yeah, because they get weird. That little bit of hot, they get some of that. You know, a little bit of hot foam, put that on there.
Yeah.
Get the spray.
Alcohol
on it. Like,
yeah. But you know, the tightest edge in the history of television is Steve Harvey. If you ever look at Steve Harvey, has the perfect edge and the exact same haircut every time you see him, and it's tight as hell. It looks like you can bounce a dime off.
He's bald now. He looks like Oscar De Leon, the salsa.
Well, when he used to have his box, you know, he used to have the tightest box, and he used to have the tightest lineup ever. And he used to keep it tight, you know, like I say, where you could, you know, you could bounce a dime, you could land a plane on that thing, man. It was wild.
I'm thinking back to the original Kings of Comedy. I'm like looking at my DVDs right now, like, where is that at?
Yes. Look at Leif. That's a perfect example. You look and see that edge, or look at what was his old show, the Steve Harvey show. You check out, you know, when he was Mr. Hightower. You check out the edges. Steve wasn't playing. He used to have the perfect edge.
Mr. Hightower,
man,
don't.
Like, when I was in high school, we lived
in like a I hate to call it a white area, but it was a. A white area, and the barber was way on the other side of town, and I used to hate driving over there. So I used to, most people, my senior year in high school, I actually shaved my head bald just so I wouldn't have to get an edge, because I knew the local barber would mess my edge up. So I was like, man, it's just, you know, I'd rather just not have no hair, you know.
See,
and I used to be bald.
See, that's the thing, is like Nebraska, a lot of the areas are white areas because it's Nebraska, you know. If it's not Omaha or Lincoln, it's pretty much a white area.
Yeah.
And our school, Southeast Nebraska, is in Beatrice, which is 35 minutes south of Lincoln. So my teammates would get to the portion. They were desperate enough, they wanted me to cut their hair. Now, I can cut hair a little bit. I'm not that great on the edge game, but it's still. So that's why, you know, I really started paying more attention to hair, per se, because, you know, I understand, you know, with me, I'm white. It didn't matter. If somebody messed up my hair, nobody's going to know the difference. I mean, I will.
Yeah.
My wife will be like, well, that's too short. But that's about the extent of it. It's too short. You know, but I'm white, so I don't really have to worry about that. It's not an issue I have.
Well,
so,
you know, my white friends, you know, when I was in school, they used to just get that mushroom cut, man. Did you used to have the mushroom cut when you was younger? They used to just get the mushroom cut, you know, and, like, basically the bowl, you know, just put the bowl on your head and cut around the edges, and they'd be good.
Nah, never caught on. I was guilty of the Jonathan Taylor Thomas, the little part in the middle, the JTT. I had that. I had the JTT.
Yeah.
I rocked that for a little bit. I rocked that for a lot of bit. I probably rocked it longer than I should have. But
the JTT years, wow, man. I bet the girls used to like it though. JTT, he used to have the females going crazy. I used to hate that dude when I was younger.
That's why I roll with it. See, now I'm trying to jump on that Clooney haircut, you know, Caesar.
Yeah.
Going more for the part, you know, look more mature.
I just keep a fade, man. You know, I keep a fade. I learn how to fade myself up. And, you know, every couple of days, you know, you just, you know, edge yourself up, keep your fade going. And, you can't go on with the fade. You know, it's
what
you
got to do. Yeah, I'm not that talented to look in a mirror and do that. So I've never been able to.
The thing is, you learn by disgrace. Because if you mess up, you're going to get clowned. So you kind of learn by disgrace. You know, it's like you know, it's like evolution.
Well,
you
Mike's bald again. He must have messed his head up.
Oh man, yeah, you know, yeah.
And then you want to play it off like, nah, you know, it's hot out, you know. It's California, of course. Dry hot, though. You didn't need to cut your hair all the way off. You messed your hair up, didn't you?
That's what I was younger, you know. But like I said, I used to rock the straight baldy, like shaved bald, and, you know. And I was like, you know, then when I got out to Florida, you know, no, everybody would have haircuts. So I was like, oh, man, I got to start getting haircuts again, you know.
Yeah, because the sun will beat off your head. You get a sunburn on your head.
Ask Quazelle one time. We used to have to trek to go get haircuts, man. It was
Quazelle's on the line. He's here. I'm bringing him on here in a sec.
Yeah, bring him in because we found this one dude named Taurus, and he used to live in these other dorms, and he used to cut. I don't know if he used to cut Quazelle's hair. He used to cut me and Chi-Town Mike's hair though. But you know, we had to trek to find him, and then he moved to off-campus apartment, so, like, we used to have to, like, shuttle ourselves out there to go get our haircut and then make it back. It was a task, you know, but you gotta look tight, you know, because ladies notice that, man, especially black girls. They pay, you know, black girls' hair is their life, you know. Most of them wear weaves and shit, so, you know, they pay attention to hair, you know.
Yep.
So that's true.
So you're it's crazy back then. And well, when I went to FAM, I used to just get one of these cats in the dorms to cut my stuff, man. But you know, I stopped doing that. I used to just walk myself to the barbershop, man. Eventually.
Well, your roommate didn't one of the dudes, because you stayed on the same floor as DT, right?
Yeah.
Didn't like the dude down the hall cut hair or something like that?
Yeah, I went to one of these little dudes in the dorms would do it. I mean, I went to probably about five or six different dudes up in the dorm, man. That was cutting hair, man.
Remember me and Mike, we used to go, look, you don't remember the little short dude, Taurus?
I know you're talking about.
We used to go to. That damn barbershop was too, hot to be walking all the way down. You used to walk all the way down to that barbershop, man?
Yeah, I used to go down there, yeah.
Oh, hell no. It was too hot for all that for me. Mm-hmm.
Quazelle from Alabama, he's used to being, you know, walking in the heat, man.
Hell no.
Man,
I
got a question, though. Hold on. Real quick, though. I want to get your opinion. I want you to tell Matt your opinion. You know that girl that won the Oscar, Lupita, the one with the high-top fade?
Yeah.
How do you think she looks?
It's, you know...
And be real, Callie Mike. Be real.
It's like I said, you know, she's not ugly, but people try to make her... It's what I call dark-skinned guilt. You know, it's like we try to take a dark-skinned girl and make her look better because we, you know, and a lot of black people, they don't like dark-skinned people and, you know, but it's, you know, it's, I mean, she's not, you know, it's like I heard some, you know, folks are talking about her.
She all right? Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, she's all right, you know, but folks talk about how beautiful she is and it's like, really? You know,
well, let me
exactly.
Say
and what I'm saying is, Callie Mike, we went to HBCU, we went to FAM. You put her at FAM, you compare her to all the rest of the dark skinned women at FAMU. How does she measure up?
She would be lonely.
Exactly, man. Are you trying to tell me
she'd be lonely.
Of dark skinned women? Are you kidding me?
That's what's
annoying me right here. I've seen way better looking dark skinned women than that.
Oh yeah,
but
I'm
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Even the natural hair dark skinned women, I've seen way better looking natural hair dark skinned women than that.
Oh yeah, most like I say. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what I mean?
Let me ask you this.
She'll be lonely. Yeah,
she.
But like I say, it's dark skin guilt though. You know, we get a girl like her, and we can't tell the truth. We have to support her because she's dark skinned. Because then if we don't support her, people tell us that we're color struck or coons or something like that. So we gotta support her, or else we'll be on the other side.
That was my point the whole time, man. That was my point the whole time. She's average for a dark skinned girl.
Yeah, if she had a super body, I could be like, wow, she got a super body, you know. But
she picked the right dresses, the right colors to bring out good features in her too. I don't know. I noticed the dresses look good on her. It's hard not,
unless she gets like a red or something, it's hard not for her features to come on. I mean, you know, it's just, like I said, I mean, she's an okay chick, but she's not, you know, she's not this big, you know, this beauty queen that people want. Like Clausel said, You know, if she was at school, you know, if she was at family where we went, she'd be an average dark skin chick. Nobody, like I say, nobody, she'd be really lonely. You know, she'd be a chick that'd be happy for you to be like, hi, you know, and then you'd be like, all right, you know, how you doing, you know. But she, you know,
yeah, she'd be a,
she definitely, yeah, she wouldn't stand out at all, you know. But it's dark skin guilt, you know. So, you know, you gotta put her on the
I don't think it's, hold on. Hey, Callie Mike, I don't think it's dark skin guilt. It kind of goes back to that scandal dynamic. You know, it's like we don't find her attractive until certain people find her attractive. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it is, but, you know, but like I said, if you don't find her attractive, though, then, you know, then you get called a coon, you know. So, it's, you know, it's like, you know, like I said, most people wouldn't, if she wasn't dark-skinned, most people wouldn't have even, you know, like if she wasn't dark-skinned, she wouldn't get half the attention she's getting. You know, honestly, she wouldn't get half the attention she was getting. You know, so yeah. I mean, I gotta, you know, like I said, you know, she, you know, if she was a couple of shades lighter, you know, she'd be a normal actress. You know, but you know, like I said, since she's dark, you know, we're obliged to pay her attention. So, you know, it's kind of a double standard with dark skinned people or real dark skinned people.
You know,
but I hate to quote, you know, I don't like to steal direct quotes from Tommy Sotomayor, but, you know, it's like he said, there's a spectrum. You know, if somebody is really dark, you know, it's, you don't see people praising albino people for how pretty they are, you know, but, you know, when somebody's really dark, it's like you're obliged to say, how nice they look. But if somebody, you know, but if you see an albino person, you don't be, people be like, damn, she's fine. You know, folks will be like, nah, where her color at, you know? So, you know, it's kind of a touchy area, but, you know, like I said, that's why I call it dark skin guilt, because you kind of get guilted in the, you know, into saying, okay, this chick is, you know, she's more than what she is. You
so know? You pretty much think she's looked at as like a handicapped child. Is that what you're basically saying, Callie Mike?
I'm just saying, it's like I said, I mean, she's on.
Where are you going with this?
She's on one end of the spectrum, you know. She's at that far end of the spectrum.
All right,
that's what Callie Mike is saying. Callie Mike is saying she's looking like she's looked at as a handicapped child, basically. That's what you're saying.
Honestly, I mean, if she was a couple of shades lighter, you wouldn't notice her. You know, it's not like if she was lighter, she'd be like Halle Berry or something like that. If she was lighter, she'd be like that other girl. You know.
Yeah.
All right, man. Speaking of not noticing teams, UConn come out of nowhere in the Final Four. Did anybody have UConn on their bracket
in
the Final Four?
I had UConn losing to, I think they lost to, I had them losing to Michigan State, and I had Michigan State going to the Final Four. But all the other teams, it's funny, all the other teams in the Elite Eight I had making it there except for Kansas. Of course, you know, Kansas is my team, so I had them going all the way to the finals. In my original bracket, I had Kansas and Arizona in the finals. All my teams I picked to make it to the finals lost. So, you know, they lost before the Elite Eight, but I think I had Louisville, Michigan State, Kansas, and Arizona. And none of them, doesn't look like any of them are going to be there. So, you know, I'm kind of bummed about this bracket. It cost me $1 billion. I had already spent the money, you know, so I'm kind of behind right now. So, you know, if any of y'all could help, loan me a couple of million or something like that, I'd appreciate it. I know you guys got big dollars out there in Tampa.
You know that.
at least that's what I've heard, you know.
Spread rumors. It's gang money. That's what it is, you know.
Yeah, that is a good one. You know, Paul Bell used to be in a gang. The 77th
he still
Street
is.
Stunners. Yeah, 77th Street Stunner.
Oh, I used to be in a gang?
Yeah, the 77th Street Stuntman. They used to reach
out. Oh, the 77th Street.
Yeah, they were the worst. They used to reach
out. Yeah,
I used to be on the block, man.
Yeah, talking to women. That's why I used to be on the block talking to women. That's why I used to be on the block. That's why I was on the block.
Hey, but honestly, look, this bracket, I mean, it's funny because I really haven't been watching games because none of my teams are in it, but there have been some really good games from what I've seen the highlights from. I'm a Jayhawks fan, so I kind of tuned out, and I was disappointed, you know, because I expect them to go all the way with Wiggins and Eden, you know, but, you know, once they lost, I kind of took, but they've been some good games. I think the Arizona game was like a one-point game.
But notice this. All the teams that were in the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 are now in the Final Four. They're all traditional basketball schools. All traditionally, they're in the tournament. You know,
yeah.
They're schools that are there. So I think that's one thing, the familiarity with seeing teams like that there. This year was nice because you could really just erase whatever the seed was and just focus on the basketball. It didn't matter what seed they were. They keep calling things upsets and stuff like that. I didn't necessarily agree with the seeding that they had there in the first place, but still, it's it's a lot more interesting.
I hate to be an after the point kind of dude, but something told me all them schools, all the Wichita States and Virginias, I knew their asses wasn't going to make it. It's like, you know, it's like, come on now. You know, it's like, really? Those are your number one seeds? It's like, you know, come on. You know, once I saw that, I was like, okay, this is a joke. You know, it's like, how far do we – I mean, it was just disappointing to see them up there. I mean, everybody should get a shot.
CBS had Creighton at one point in time as a number one.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like, come on, really? You know, I mean, like it's you know what scared people is when Kentucky, you know, when they started turning it on, it was like you know, them kid, you know, them freshmen finally started playing. You know, that's what's gonna surprise people. You know, it's like they got you know, I mean, they got what five. Five or six first rounders, you know, all freshmen, you know, so that's, you know.
Yeah, potential, yeah.
Yeah.
Randall being the one that stands out the most.
Truthfully, I've been watching them in two twins, though, man. I like their game. Well, not so much the other one, but the Aaron Harrison, I think he's going to be pretty good. I think he won a lottery.
You think so?
Dude ain't that good.
Yeah, you know, 6'6". 6'5", 6'6", point guard, you know, athletic, you know, that's what people look for.
Then there's the cat from UCLA, he's 6'9", point guard. I thought he looked a lot more athletic. He has better, you know, that's the thing is people keep talking about Wiggins, and I know has David's made a point. I mean, you talk about kids that have freakish athleticism but aren't basketball players necessarily. I mean, he's really athletic. He can jump and he can dunk. Whereas the guy from, his name escapes me. I mean, he has height. He has the dribbling skill. He can shoot better. You know, he might be a better option than Wiggins in the first round.
It's gonna be interesting to see. I mean, you know, Wiggins, his thing is, you know, I don't know if his jump shot is wet enough. You know, I mean, he might come in there and be like.
He's like Andre Iguodala, smaller version.
He's like Iguodala. He reminds me more of what's boy in Toronto? I can't think of his name right now. He went to
USC. DeRozan?
Yeah, DeRozan. He reminds me of a DeRozan kind of dude. He might blossom, but it's like he got to get that jumper a little bit wetter. You know, you got to be able to stick that jumper. You're going to play the two out here. You know, unless you got, you know, I don't, you know, and his handle.
I feel like
DeRozan's
almost like a victim of where he is. I don't think the coach in Toronto is really good enough to bring out the best in him, and he needs to go somewhere where you get a better coach. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not in Toronto next season. Seeing him move, because he's not gonna his career is not gonna really move forward like it's supposed to in Toronto. I mean, let's face it. There's two people that ever had any sort of success in Toronto. Well, three, really. You say Bosch, McGrady, and Carter.
Yeah, and T-Mac, yeah. And T-Mac really didn't become, you know, he really didn't become T-Mac until Orlando, but, you know, they saw his goodness, you know, they saw how good he could be in Toronto, but, yeah, that's true.
Because he was their event.
But, you know, like I tell people, Lakers are gonna make they're gonna make some splashes. I don't want to say too much, you know, but we're gonna get some, you know, some people in the off season.
Sure are. You know. Man, I hope they get Love. I'm really looking forward to that.
Keep eye on Love and Westbrook, man. You know, you see, you know, two UCLA cats could very easily be back in the same city.
Oh man, don't even tease me with that. I'm gonna hit Steve Kyler up tonight because I want to get my Laker fix. I know he's real tight with Dwight Howard, so he doesn't really.
They got to make some sort of comeback though this season. This season was disappointing. I think even if Kobe would have stayed healthy, which I'm kind of glad he didn't. You know, it's like just go ahead and get your rehab on, dude. But it's like, you know, Gasol's got to go, man. It's, you know, you can't pay that dude $20 million anymore. That's evident.
Yeah. You know, my issue though with the Lakers is, do they have the autonomy in the front office to make the right wholesale changes to put in the right people? I mean, obviously Dr. Buss did, and he always made those decisions, but I don't think his son really knows what direction he should go with things. And
exactly.
He's not keeping Buss was about keeping people involved. Like Magic was involved with trades and acquisitions and stuff like that. He talked to him about it. How does he feel about the coach and stuff like that? Front office isn't communicating with Kobe. They're not telling him who they're picking up, you know. Obviously, D'Antoni wasn't a good fit from the get-go.
It's tough when the dad is a big figure like that and he dies. I mean, look at what's happening in the Raiders, you know, and look at what's happening in New York, you know, with Stein, you know, I mean, you know, you didn't have, you know, you had Jerry Buss, you know, Steinbrenner, and Al Davis die, you know, all within a couple of years. And, you know, pretty much those are the biggest dudes and, you know, biggest owners in sports, really, in each of their sport, you look at it. So, you know, but I mean, besides Jerry Jones in Texas, but, you know, I mean, you know, history-wise, but, I mean, you know, there's big shoes to fill, you know, and I don't think their sons are up to it, you know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think Genie should actually be running the team instead of the boy.
I agree with that wholesale. I wholeheartedly.
At least she would have brought Phil with her, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think Phil was prepared to come back. I think they were just deciding what to pay him. And then Junior Buss decides to go a different direction.
I don't want to say, but I don't think him and his son get along. Something's telling me they don't see eye to eye, because there's no reason why he wouldn't have came back, you know. And at least
What I've been told, they do not get along. Mm. And it's kind of the funny thing is D'Antoni was surprised about the decision. Phil was surprised about the decision. Genie was surprised about the decision. You know, it's kind of Kobe didn't know. Like nobody knew. But Junior Buss, that's it.
Exactly.
You know, that's it. So I think we all understand what the catalyst is here, and it's probably one of the biggest changes that needs to be made. You know, I'm not I think if he just sits back in the ownership role, you know, and brings in a GM, that might be better. You know, I was kind of hoping that the Lakers would have done that with Phil or someone like that before, you know, reach out to Magic, reach out. Cause Magic's no longer, Magic's no longer in basketball anymore as an analyst, but he doesn't have any ownership anymore. He sold off his share of the Lakers, took a year off from ownership, and now he's part owner of the Dodgers. But he's staying in L.A. And he already said that, you know, he will he'll campaign to do whatever he can to talk to players to play in L.A. So they got a scout in Magic right there. So it's
well,
you got to look at
Junior. It's like, how do you isolate not only your star and Kobe Bryant? How do you also isolate Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from your team? You know, it's like really. You know, it's like how do you do? You know, it's like, you know, like I say, look at what he's doing in L.A. Look at what Al Davis Jr., whatever his son's name is doing in Oakland. The changes that the Raiders have made and the players that they've lost in just a couple of weeks have been enough for their whole front office to be fired. You know, look at what Steinbrenner is doing in New York. You know, the Yankees ever been like that? You know, so it's
yeah.
You know, you got guys that are trying to step up and fill these legend shoes, and they're lesser men, and you know they don't want to let their pride get in the way. So, you know, I mean, well, their pride is getting in the way of them making, you know, the right decisions, and it's, you know, and they're suffering for it.
The funny thing is, in New York, he tried to take last year off from spending, and.
Mm-hmm.
And other than really Derek Jeter and Jorge Posada and the closer, Ramirez, that retired last year. You know, other than those three guys, there really isn't anybody that you see there came up through their minor league system. A couple pitchers here and there, you know, maybe a utility infielder. The last guy really that came up was Nunez, and he got designated for his assignment today. So it's,
wow.
You know, he tried to go that route, wanting to think about, well, let's replenish that the pool with new fish. But the problem is they've spent money for so long that their farm team really doesn't matter as much. So the attention isn't paid there. You know,
yeah.
Whereas on the other side of the Rays, I mean, they spent $80 million this year, which is the highest that they've spent in team history, 14 of which they're spending on Price, which, I mean, he deserves every penny of it, especially with the 7 and the 3rd that he pitched last night, a 9-1 victory. So he can't do that, whereas the Rays constantly rotate people. You know, I think... It's just like if you look at it like the stock market, the Rays are those, you know, those long-term investors. They buy low, they sell high. Buy low, sell high. Whereas, you know, the deep pocket investors, they're trying to find something that's high, get it while it's up, and then sell it. And then be done with it. So, you know, you're not going to see the same long-term investment out of them. Obviously, the best player, one of the best players in baseball, and probably one of the best Yankees in their history, obviously came through that long-term investment phase. So, it's going to be interesting where they go from here. Because remember, next year, Alex Rodriguez is back with another, I think he has another 5 years. Something like that on the contract.
Oh, something else ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
they
else
still
ridiculous.
Owe him. They got out of paying him this year, but you know, it's they got a lot more money to pay him.
Yes.
He's set. That's the crazy thing about baseball. That's why I mean so many people were coming down on Miguel Cabrera, 10-year, $292 million contract. It's crazy. It's all guaranteed because it's baseball. So, we'll see.
What that should be telling people is, instead of getting your son a football and some cleats, you better get him a bat.
Yeah, you know, that's the crazy thing about it. You know, they keep talking about Jameson being a two-sport athlete. But here's the thing. If Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are that great of baseball players, they would be standouts in baseball. They've both been drafted. Wilson was actually drafted twice. He played in the minor leagues for, what, a year, 2 years? Didn't go anywhere. If he was that good of a baseball player, after 2 years, he would be looking at moving up into a major league roster. You know? It's that development. They didn't see his development progressing any further. So he said, you know, I got 1 year left. I'm going to go play football in Wisconsin. He gets drafted in the NFL in the 3rd round. He wins the Super Bowl, you know, 2 years later. So, I mean, it's different. Deion stood out in baseball. Bo stood out in baseball. But when you talk to those guys, especially Bo, the talent pool that was around him wasn't the same. Now that you have kids that train like athletes do. They are athletes now, child athletes. And it's not just, yeah, I happen to be good at this sport, or I'm good at this sport too, and I'm in the leagues. No, they train.
Exactly.
They have coaches, and they train. Not just practice, they train. It's to a whole nother level. When you have academies that take you to, you know, that actually sit down and focus on teaching you how to adjust your delivery and what you can do to increase velocity and stuff like that. I mean, it takes the sport to a whole nother level. Football, baseball, basketball, they're all the kind of the same. Except, unfortunately, with basketball, the AAU has kind of hurt the pro sport.
I was just about to say it's weird. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's coaching, though. They're not getting enough quality coaches because they're not learning fundamental stuff. You know, that's what they're missing in AAU basketball is the fundamentals. That's the biggest knock on Wigan. He's a freakish athlete. He can dunk. But there's not one thing that he does at anything, one thing that's particularly well.
Exactly.
It's not like he's a phenomenal driver or scorer. He can do that. He can shoot, you know, but it's not like his shot's, you know, so wet that you got to have him because he can shoot really well. You know?
Well, that's why I like LeBron. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a player who was good make himself better like LeBron did? You know, this dude taught himself how to play defense to where he's one of the top defenders in the league. That's hard as hell to do. You know, like, you know, he got his jumper. His jumper is not super bad, you know, now, but he got it better to where it is. You know what I mean? That's why I think he's, you know, people still underrate him because they don't realize how much better he is than what he was, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I think you've kind of said it there. It's development. He developed in the NBA, but he was a better shooter. He was a better scorer, you know. I mean, he grew a little bit in the NBA. You grow till you're 21. So, I mean, he put on size and everything like that in the NBA. He matured in the NBA to what he is now. So it's obviously where he is now and where he was 12 years ago when he came in. Yes, it's 12 years, right? Yeah, 12 years ago when he came into the NBA. You know, it's hard to sit back and say LeBron's been in the league for 12 years. Yeah.
But, look at your boy Dwight Howard. I mean, he's been in the league one season away, and to me, he has not improved. To me, Dwight Howard is the same player he was when he first came in the league, which is sad, you know. If he wasn't an athletic freak, you know, he'd be under be out of the league by now.
See, that's his problem. That's the thing. He didn't fit in with people that coach him and push him. You know, he's not willing to learn himself. He didn't mature. He's not mature where he should be from a certain aspect. On the other hand, you know, when you start off with somebody and you have Kobe saying, hey, listen, why don't you come to L.A.? You could be my Tyson Chandler. That kind of doesn't help out either, you know? So, you know, it's hard to say what came forth, the chicken or the egg. But obviously he's not continuing to develop. And that was one of the things I know when he was looking for a place to go this year in free agency. He wanted to have that ability to be with someone that can develop him. Akeem Olajuwon was right there. I wrote my article last year about him going to the Spurs because I thought the Spurs were the best fit for him because he could learn and grow so much more there than he would anywhere else. But they were in the middle of a playoff battle with the Heat.
I think he was looking for a place where he can go and hide. You know, because there was a lot of teams that was a better fit for him than Houston, but I mean, like, even when he was in Orlando when they went to the finals,
you look at it, it's like, did they really go to Orlando because of Dwight, or did they go because Ido Turkoglu and what's the other, I forget who else they had, were playing out of their minds, Rashad, you know, whatever
Lewis.
It is they were giving all that money to. You know,
yeah,
it's
Rashad.
Rashad Lewis, you know, it's like, is that, you know, it's like, really, you know, it's like, he, you know, like I said, I mean, he, you know, it's like, how are you, it's like, you know, you're the focal point of an offense, and you're barely getting 20 points a game, you know, and you're a center, and you're supposed to be the dominant center in the league.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, look at his development compared to, old boy in New Orleans, and you know, Davis. That dude might be better than Dwight Howard right now. And he's, like I said, he's grown leaps and bounds just since he came in the league last year.
He's putting more weight on, too.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. If you're picking centers right now, I mean, is there any doubt that you put him over? Did you put him over Dwight Howard?
That's a legitimate point. And I think San Antonio, he could have hid in San Antonio. I mean, you have Tim Duncan there for at least another 2 years.
Yeah, San Antonio. I think he would know though. Pop, I don't think Pop would have let him hide in San Antonio. See, enough. I think he knew that. You know, I think Pop is the kind of coach. He's gonna coach. You know, he's gonna coach you. You know, so I think he looked at that and was like, nah, I can't go there and bull. You know, but he's like, but I can go to. I can go to San Antonio's little brother in Houston and pull my shit, you know?
Yeah, you have Kevin McHale and Hakeem Olajuwon. Two guys that are just going to be there. Yeah. See, I don't think Kevin McHale, I mean, I don't think he's necessarily a bad coach, but I just never thought he was at that level. You know?
Yeah, he's not a bad coach, but you look at all the talent that he put together in Minnesota, and they still didn't do squat, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, and like I said, you know, you look at that roster, you know, that was a talented ass team when they had, you know, when they had Kevin Garnett when he was still in his prime, and you know, and all those other guys, you know,
Jason
LaCroix,
Terry,
and those guys. Yeah, you know, it's like they had talent, dude. And they didn't do, you know, I think they won 60 games a couple of seasons in a row and didn't do squat, you know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah, then that was one of the big things, too. I mean, I think he tried to kind of sell him on that, too. You know, I work with Kevin Garnett, and I can teach you because you could be that. Because I don't even think he can do that. He doesn't have a shooting ability. Kevin Garnett can shoot. He shoots like a three.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
And that's where he played a lot, a three or four. Mainly three.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, well, yeah. When he first came in, he was a three. You know,
yeah.
He was a three. They had Sam Mitchell, and then they had I forget what the white dude's name was. They had a white dude. There was the four originally, and then Garnett.
Gugliotta. Tom Gugliotta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Tom. Yep. Tom Gugliotta. Yep. And then Garnett moved up to the four when Wally World got there, and then he, you know, when Wally started working his, when Zerbiak worked his way into the starting lineup, and then Garnett moved up to the four. But even then, you know, like I said, most of the time, you know, he would still be at the three most of the time, you know.
They did have a pretty potent team there for a while. Forget about it. Wally, Zerbiak, Sprewell.
Yeah, they had talent. Yeah, they had talent, man. You know, and they didn't do nothing, you know. Man,
see, that's even a bigger knock. You know, now I really started to think of that's such a – that makes me, you know, think a little bit even less of Kevin McHale.
You know, they had talent, you know. They had super talent, you know. Like I said, you know, he went through all that trouble to get Joe Smith to come there. You know, he almost lost his career and it didn't do nothing for him, you know. I mean, they're super. I mean, like I said, look at what they did when they had Starberry up there. You know, it's like, you know, for as much as, you know, flack as people give Marbury, dude can play his ass.
He just
off,
won a title, you know that? He just won the Chinese Basketball Association. Just won his first championship. Got really emotional.
You know, it's like, you know, it's like I tell people, it's like, you know, he couldn't be on, you know, it's like you couldn't put him on your bench. You know, it's like, I know at least he can still give, you know, at least, you know, even, I know he can at least give 15-5 in the league, you know, coming off the bench to somebody, you know. So it's like,
yeah,
know, like he can get a contract.
Yeah.
That's why I would get so mad with the Lakers. It's like, you know, it's like we couldn't have got him. We couldn't have got Iverson. You know, it's like we couldn't have got some veteran who was just willing to come and, you know, and put 15 points next to Kobe and, you know, and
yeah,
help
especially,
you out. You know?
Especially Iverson. I mean, if you're going to have the glove there for 3 years, I mean, you could get Iverson in there for a little bit.
It's serious. You know? He used to bother. That's what I'm saying. He used to. Like, every time I would see one of these veterans who would final with one of these other teams, it would bother the hell out of me. And I'd be like, wow.
Really?
You know?
There?
Yeah. while we're paying Gasol $20 million. You know, trying to convince people he's still the top, you know, he's the top big man in the league or the, you know, the most talented big man in the league and all this bull crap, you know.
You know, I would actually take Mark over him, be honest with you.
In a heartbeat. You know, it's like I tell people, as much, like I say, people try to fault Kobe's game. Kobe made Gasol look like he was the best big man in the league. When Gasol was playing on his team by himself, anybody can be on a team by themselves if they're the star and look like they're a good player because they're getting the ball fed to them a lot, as long as they're a capable player. Kobe made Gasol look like he was one of the top players in the league. Gasol was not a top player until he came to L.A. You know, as much people say, you know, when you try to do the Kobe and Jordan comparison, they'll say how Jordan made his teammates better. Kobe made those dudes great. Look at Trevor Ariza. He made that dude's whole career. Remember, people were talking about him like he was going to be an all-star when he left L.A. And why didn't the Lakers re-sign him? And this and they're fools. Trevor Ariza,
yeah,
is the key. It's like, really?
Not to go even too far after that, look at Shannon Brown.
Is that, you know, they're fools not to re-sign him. It's like, okay. Oh, yeah, but, you know, you guys know best. You know?
Sasha Vujicic.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, all those dudes who left from that first championship team. Everybody thought that, you know, Lakers were crazy and you know, it's like, okay, it's like, no, Kobe was making those. As long as, if you give a player, you know, that's why Kobe was getting frustrated, because before they were giving him players he couldn't, nobody can make better. You can't make Smith Parker better. You know? So it's like if you give him, you know, once they gave him something to work with, two titles came out of it. You know, just think they could have kept it going, you know, but they didn't, you know, and it's you know, it's sad, you know, but. You know, hopefully the franchise can rebound. I've been a Lakers fan since I've been a little kid, so, you know, hopefully they can rebound. But it's going to, you know, it's going to take some draft or, you know, like I say, maybe they might need to get a, you know, get one of these young guys in the draft and then get a couple of veterans and, you know, and at least get back to the playoffs, you know.
I mean, right now we're looking at Denver or Dallas, rather. They're a half a game out of eighth, at seventh or eighth, depending on how Memphis or Phoenix finish. I feel like Dallas is going to end up getting into the playoffs. New York, on the other hand, they're a whole game out. Cleveland is three games out. So, I mean, here with five games left, six games left in the season for most of these teams, six or less, I mean, we're running into a situation where, you know, coming at a premium. New York, I don't know. If they get into the playoffs this year, I mean, that's a stroke of luck. I don't know how they're going to make it in. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, they lose to teams that are trying to lose. You know?
I got no love lost for them, man. As a Lakers fan, I got no love lost for the Knicks. To me, they're getting what they deserve. I don't know. I don't like New York.
It's funny because New York, because Knicks fans are a lot like Cubs fans. You know that?
Yeah.
They show up because the gate's open, I guess. I don't know why. I know it's not Spike. Spike ain't put out a movie in how long?
It's because it's New York.
David, you know the last time Spike put a movie out?
No, I don't know. I thought I was on mute. No, I don't know.
I know it's been a minute. I haven't seen a Spike Lee joint in a minute.
It's been a minute.
Hot minute, too.
Hot minute, too. Yeah. You know, but like I said, it's New York, so unless they want to get stabbed or stopped and frisked, they got to be in the stadium.
Hey, they're not even in Brooklyn, though. But I heard the Barclays. I heard Barclays Center is really nice.
That's another fiasco, yeah.
Like, they don't know how the hell it got to Brooklyn. Like, it's out of place. So people told me.
Well, like I said, that's, you know, that's another team they spent a lot of money on up there, and, you know.
Well, they're in fifth place right now. They've clinched.
Exactly. Yeah, but they're still, like I said, they're in fifth place because they're in the East, and you know, but I mean, like I said, for what it is, it's, you know, I would
think Brooklyn makes the playoffs in the West? I mean, looking at Phoenix, Memphis,
Phoenix has a nice young team. They're just not. They just don't have a wild dude, but they got a couple of pieces in place. What's the point guard? Is it Goran Dragic?
Yeah.
Is that the point guard? You know, dude. Like I said, they got a couple of nice pieces in place. You know, they just don't have those wild players, but you know, they got a solid team.
I mean, they're coming off a loss to the Lakers. They play the Clippers tonight. And there's still Eric Bledsoe. He was the one that they spent a lot of money on in the offseason to pick up from the Clippers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that move. But, I mean, you know, like I said, I see promise. I mean, if I was to have to choose a franchise over the next 5 years, I mean, The Nets, how much longer are the Nets going to be there if they don't win a championship this year in their constant formation? I mean, you know, in their current, you know, formation. I mean, you got dudes that are ready to retire, you know. You got cats that are coming up on, you know, cats coming up on 20 years in the league. You know, that's a lot of miles.
Yeah. I mean, they got to – just kind of looking over what they have here, I mean – the most notable names: Eric Bledsoe, Channing Frye, Emeka Okafor, and Leandro Barbosa. Probably the most recognizable names. And then you got the two Morris brothers from Kansas. So,
I guess you know those dudes.
And Gerald Green they picked up.
All of those dudes, they're not superstars, but they're all like, you know, like hard nosed, you know, grinding out kind of dudes. You know, even Okafor, you know, he gets a lot of overrated, you know, labels because he was number two in the draft, but you know, dude has always been a solid, you know, he's always been a solid kind of guy. You know, you can always, you know he's gonna get in there and defend, and you know he's gonna get you around 10 boards. You know, so he's always been that kind of dude. The Morris twins, you know, they play better when, you know, they play good when they're on the same team with each other. You know, Barbosa, he's, you know, he never really reached the potential he thought, you know, people thought he was going to be in the league. But, you know, he's shown he can shine, you know, if he needs to.
They have plenty of cap space, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. You know, so like I said, you know. If you were to give me a franchise to be a GM over, if I'm playing NBA Live, if I'm playing NBA 2K14, and I got to do a franchise mode, I choose Phoenix over New Jersey.
Right. It's interesting. They did. I mean, Jersey has pretty much, like you said, they've put all their chips in one basket. Kind of go for broke right now. I mean, they acquired a lot. I'm sure that they're somewhere in the luxury tax bracket.
Oh, my God. If they're not, it has to be ridiculous.
If they're not, I want to meet their accountant because he's going to do my taxes from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's sad because they got a new stadium. And, you know, Darren Williams, he's never been the same type of player he used to be. So,
you know, that's kind of, he used to be like one of my favorite guys, but then, you know, I don't know what happened. Kind of start, you know, he had that injury and then he kind of started gaining weight and he never really got back to, you know, being the elite, you know. I mean, he used to be, to me, in my opinion, he used to be right there next to Chris Paul, you know, but he kind of never really got back to that, you know, that elite status.
Yeah. I mean, they have four players that are under a million. Jason Collins is one of them. One cat from Jorge Gutierrez. He's playing in the league for $54,000. He makes what the average family income in Florida makes.
I make more than Jorge Gutierrez. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can talk trash to an NBA basketball player.
Is that legal in the NBA? Can he play for that? Is he?
I don't know.
I mean, that's messed amazing. Up. They got the Latino guy from Cal playing for 54.
Yeah. After the game, they must have you clean up afterwards.
He sells oranges on the freeway on off day.
You gotta clean up after the game. You're a player and you're the team manager too. You gotta clean up afterwards.
For another $21,000 a year.
Yeah. Collect all the jocks and make sure all the balls are back in the closet.
They did. So that was just to keep them under the cap. Man, I've never seen. I thought there was some sort of league minimum for like $200,000.
Especially in New York, and like you can't.
Yeah.
Where is he even living? He must.
He's
live
living
in
with.
Like flyover or something.
That
know?
Brother's living with somebody. He's not
Man.
Living somewhere. He's living with someone.
Yeah, remember Jeremy? Jeremy Lin was like, remember he was sleeping on somebody's couch and he was making $1 million.
In New York. That's
nothing nice right there.
That's the New York life. All right, that's pretty much going to wrap it up here for tonight here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. I want to thank my guest, Richard Reese. If you didn't hear it earlier in the show, be sure to check it out on the podcast. He joined me earlier, comedian Richard Reese. Or you could head over to richardreeselive.com and download the comedy DVD for free. And just be sure to listen to the podcast at the beginning of the show, right within the first half hour of the show, and he gives you a free promotional code to download it for free. All right, so that's all here for me. I'm Matthew Long here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, here on MRN Broadcasting, powered by BlogTalkRadio.com.